From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Alex Jones looks at our world, and here's what's happening. Law enforcement officials have no concrete information on who planted the two bombs that left more than 170 people injured, three dead near the finish line of the Boston Marathon Monday. 17 of the injured are now in critical condition still in area hospitals, several of them removing from their body parts. Very tragic situation. The governor out there announced that President Barack Obama will attend an interfaith ceremony at Boston's Cathedral of the Holy Cross in honor of the victims on Thursday. The FBI special agent in charge pleaded with the public to provide information to help authorities track down the culprit, particularly those who might know someone who was researching how to make bombs or who saw a suspicious person carrying a heavy black nylon bag near the finish line. It appeared at least one of the bombs was made of a pressure cooker loaded with nails and metal BBs, though the debris from the scene will have to be examined before they can make that determination. Doctors said metal bearings had embedded into the skin of their patients. And an envelope that tested positive for the deadly poison ricin was intercepted Tuesday afternoon at the U.S. Capitol's off-site mail facility in Washington. They take their mail off-site now since the anthrax scare of 2001. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said he was told the letter was addressed to the office of Senator Roger Wicker, the Republican of Mississippi. And a laboratory in Maryland confirmed the presence of ricin, which is very deadly, after initial field tests indicated the poison was present. Two men removed from a United Airlines flight from Boston to Chicago for what passengers said was suspicious activity. The men aboard early morning United Flight 636 were questioned by authorities, then returned to the plane, but a passenger said they were talking in a foreign language and, you know, looked really just upset, so he had them removed. He complained about it. It was unclear whether the questioning had any connection with Monday's bombings at the Boston Marathon. The Boston Globe later reported the two passengers were later booked on a different flight. American Airlines grounded flights nationwide on Tuesday for a while to problems over several hours with its computerized reservation system. At least 34 people have died, 80 injured in Pakistan after a powerful earthquake struck near the country's border with Iran. 7.5 to 7.8 magnitude. Officials earlier said dozens were injured in both countries. Jim Berkland, geologist with us. Jim, it's not a full moon. What caused this one?
Well, it was right after the new moon, 5 days after, and it was in a secondary window for the month of April. And, of course, this was the second strongest quake this year in the world.
It was a big one. Why does that region seem to get so many earthquakes, Jim?
Well, it turns out that particular part of Iran has been pretty rare to have a quake anywhere around this size. And I was looking at the last one anywhere, well, this big in that area was way back on 4/18/1983, and that was also 5 days after the new moon. That was 30 years ago since they had one that big and rather unusual. This quake had practically no aftershocks. It had a 4 all day today, mm-hmm. and finally got up to a 5.7.
Which is a good-sized earthquake all by itself.
Indeed.
Hey, officials said about a week ago that now they know by looking at ants that ants can determine if there's going to be an earthquake or not.
That's an anticipation.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah.
Jim, thanks so much. Jim's website, part of our link at coasttocoastam.com, our Twitter feed. U.S. stocks bounced back from the biggest one-day sell-off of the year as investors cheered a full slate of corporate results and economic reports. Dow jumped more than 150 points. Gold went up. Silver went up. Housing starts are going up. People were happy today there on the financial end. A report by AAA suggesting that we will spend an average of $9,122 on our cars this year. That's an increase of nearly 2% over last year, about the rate of inflation. There you go. If you drive a lot, just think about that. In St. Louis, Marijuana smokers in the city may soon get a break. Anyone caught with small amounts of marijuana could end up with a charge as insignificant as a traffic ticket. The Board of Aldermen voted 22-3 to reduce penalties for possessing small amounts of marijuana. A popular herb called blue root has been flying off pharmacy shelves across China as local governments encourage people to consider traditional remedies to ward off the latest bird flu virus. They are petrified of the H7N9 influenza virus. It has so far killed 14 people out there. Drinking a cup of beetroot juice can lower blood pressure. Think about this. Drinking 8 ounces cuts high blood pressure readings in a study of 15 patients, bringing some right to the normal range, according to a journal, Hypertension. Most showed within 3 to 6 hours, except the next day, their blood pressure was really low. Adhering to a Western-style diet lowers a person's chances of achieving older age in good health and with higher functionality, according to a new report. The latest study published in the American Journal of Medicine states that a Western-style diet, which includes fried and sweet food, processed and red meat, high-fat dairy products, and refined grains, leads to a greater risk of premature death. Let's check in with the author and writer of Hidden Cause of a Heart Attack and Stroke, Christian Wild. Christian, we always knew that a Western-style diet was no good, didn't we?
Well, we knew, and we've had so many studies through the years. But every time a new one comes, more people start to pay a little more attention to it. You know, George, it was about 10 years ago that medical leaders had collectively expressed a concern that many of today's young people who eat a fast food diet would probably not outlive their parents. That was the first time that was actually stated, and it was a stark reminder. Diabetes, as just one example, in the United States claims 213,000 lives a year and then a cost to health care of $132 billion. But to really see or make the impact of the Western diet, I was thinking how to make a very real comparison, and I guess that would be to look at a country who did not embrace our fast food diet, our Western diet, and then look at what happened once they decided to adopt
it. That's right.
I was thinking of China.
Deep trouble.
China. According to a Beijing hospital report, Western diets, high in fat and junk food, have caused a major increase in heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and other life-threatening diseases across the continent of China. And according to the new findings, there are 242 billion diabetics and pre-diabetics in China who never had a problem with that. And they believe it's caused by the addition of the Western diet plus the lack of exercise, since they've been enjoying at our expense this expanding economic boom. The country has escalated its McDonald's stores this year to 1,300, with an eye on 5,000 in the near future.
Jeez.
The Colonel, Pizza Hut, have 3,800 stores, not to mention Arby's, Burger King, Wendy's, and whoever else they'll be out there cashing in. China got our economy, George.
They got everything.
And in return, they got everything.
They got
gave them our fast food killer diet.
Hey, Christian, I want to ask you a story. Last week scared the heck out of me. I've been taking the supplement L-carnitine for a long time. It's supposed to be good for the heart. Mm-hmm. Study came out that said that if you get L-carnitine with red meat, it's not good for you at all, and it could harden the arteries. What's going on? Because I'm getting conflicted stories now.
Every day we hear of something that has been touted to us for years and years in study after study, and then one study comes out and says it could be dangerous. Again, I always say moderation.
Well, that's good. So I'm going to keep taking my turmeric, though. How about you?
Keep taking it, yes.
Christian's website, myheartbook.com. Go there. He's got all his information for you, things that you hear on the program. He's got it in a nice, concise manner. Anything you need, he's got it at myheartbook.com. Thanks, Christian. The wheels of canonization grind slowly, but a German nun who lived 100 years ago could be named a saint because the Vatican believes a Colorado Springs boy experienced a miracle back in 1999. Mother Teresa Banzel, who founded the Sisters of St. Francis of Perpetual Adoration in Germany in 1863 is scheduled for beatification in November. That's a step towards sainthood as a result of the boy's miraculous recovery. Two Colorado Springs nuns prayed to Bonzel on behalf of the four-year-old Luke Bergy, and the events that followed over the next 14 years cured him. He's now 18, does not remember being ill, doesn't remember getting well, but he doesn't like to talk about it, according to his mother. But back in 1998, he had just completed one day of preschool when he fell ill with severe gastrointestinal condition. His doctors could not relieve him, even diagnose him. They were petrified that something could happen to him. Well, he got better. The two nuns prayed, and it looks like we might have another saint. Why do people hate? We talked about it a little bit last night on Coast to Coast AM. And in a moment, psychiatrist Peter Bragan joins us. Let's see if he can help us with some of these questions. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Last night, after most of our coverage of the bombing in Boston, we opened up the phone lines and talked about not only that horrible situation, but why people seem to hate. Peter Bragan, of course, MD, Harvard-trained psychiatrist. He's a regular contributor here on Coast to Coast, also author of the book, The Heart of Being Helpful, Empathy and the Creation of a Healing Presence. Here he is on Coast to Coast. Peter, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I appreciate this topic, the depth of this topic that you're raising.
I don't understand why so many people hate all the time. As a psychiatrist, what is going on with people, Peter?
Well, I think that hate and love both are expressions of how much we see ourselves as depending on another human being for our sense of worth. When we love, it's a positive experience of worth from another human being and our value of them. Hate comes when we're feeling helpless, envious, wounded by another human being, and blame it on them and see our well-being comes out of hating them. It's a way of getting power out of nothing, power out of hurt, power out of injury, by making the other person the passionate object of our hatred, of our destructive feelings. Very corrosive to us. Just as love is uplifting in the way we relate to other human beings, hate really destroys and eats at us. It's a perversion in a sense of relationship.
Were they raised badly as children, these people who hate?
Well, first, I think it's built into human nature. I think it's a reaction that human beings get when they feel helpless, when they feel vengeful, when they feel overwhelmed by other people. I think it can be made worse by some things, you know. I mean, certainly some religions can fan hatred. Some forms of patriotism can fan hatred. You can certainly learn it in childhood. You can be encouraged to resent others, to be envious of others. But I think it's a fundamental part of human nature. It's been with us from the beginning. Maybe it has something to do with tribalism. You know, there's us and there's them. We'll be strong. They're the enemy. So it may have an evolutionary function, but it is very destructive to people. And I think that one of the most important things for us to realize when we're hating, because I think just about anybody's capable of it, that we're actually giving up our power to the person we hate. They dominate us. They corrupt our thinking. They make us feel angry, rageful. They can make us violent. And to realize that we've got to get past that, get past the hatred because of what it's doing to us and the power it's given the other person.
Well, let's assume for a moment that the situation in Boston was caused by somebody, individual, not necessarily a group, that has some kind of political ideology, but an individual who's just ticked off for whatever reason. He may be ticked off at government, but why do you take innocent people when you're that angry?
Well, it's a puzzle, of course.
I don't understand.
It is hard to grasp, but when you look inside someone who's feeling like that, they're feeling utterly helpless, and they're blaming it outside themselves. They're feeling done in. They're feeling injustice. They're feeling they've been the victim of others. Victimization is profoundly deep in them. And what they feel is going to give them power, give them strength, give them meaning, give them connection, is to strike out violently at other human beings.
Would you say, Peter, that this individual, and again, we're assuming it's an individual, so we're just doing it for this purpose, is this person, to do what they did, would you categorize them as insane?
Well, that's a legal thing. I mean, I think you're really asking, are they psychotic? Do they have delusions? Do they have hallucinations? Do they completely lost touch with reality? Not necessarily. I mean, it's possible. It's one of the ways people get into a place like that, by completely coming apart, losing their connection to reality, sort of tearing up the fabric that connects people to each other.
I mean, might he have
Not always. Not always. Yeah.
Might he have a family with children? And I mean, could he have walked home or took a cab or whatever yesterday and just simply went home?
No, I think the odds are overwhelmed. Well, I mean, that'd be a shocker, and that would be interesting, and you better have me back.
Oh, you're always back. You know that.
I think the odds are overwhelming that this is somebody who's very alone.
Okay.
Isolated, full of venomous feelings toward other human beings, uncomfortable with people, feels that human beings have caused him such harm, abandoned him, left him out, rejected him, and this is his reconnection, assuming it's not ideologically motivated, in which case then the person has a group and has certain ideas and feelings that have some social, that are being verified by other people.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming what you're saying, I would say he's going to look more like a school shooter. He's going to be more of an isolated person.
Okay, so minimal friends, because I'm convinced, Peter, that people can't keep secrets. They have to tell their most closest ally. So if this individual has one close friend, I think they're going to tell them, you know, hey, I did this. And that person may go to the authorities. I'm not sure, but I think they probably would. But are you saying this person is so alone, he doesn't even have a friend?
Well, if you look at the school shooters, very few of them had a single friend. In the case of the Columbine shooters, they were kind of a madness of two. You
a
know,
madness
they were
of two.
Together.
Right. Yeah.
But mostly they don't have friends. If it's, again, not a terrorist act, if it's a terrorist act, then this person might or might not be affiliated with other people and have associates.
If it were a terrorist act, and this is a little out of your bailiwick here, I would have thought that these two bombs, would have been bigger, a little more sophisticated. And that's what baffles me, Peter.
Well, you know, they're saying that these pressure cooker bombs, have come out of the
Pakistan, Afghanistan area.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, obviously that is getting a little bit out of my expertise, but I don't have the answer to that one, no. And it's going to be important to find out, obviously.
Could be a disgruntled a military person. I mean, I love our military. Spent 9 years in the Navy, but what if it was somebody who, you know, worked on disarming bombs in the Middle East for us, and he's back and has got a problem? Who knows?
Yep, it is going to almost certainly involve hatred, and whether that hatred is expressed just as a personal animus or whether it's cloaked in religious zealotry. Or, God forbid, extreme hatred of the government in the U.S., which I'm hoping and guessing it's not going to be. But there's going to be some aspect of hatred in it. The fact that this is that no one's claimed this maybe makes more likely what you're saying, that this is a loner expressing his own violent resentment.
Yeah, could be. I mean, they talked about a few arrests in the Middle East because of some internet chatter, but I think those might have been some people who may have been bragging and had nothing to do with this. That's just my guess. I just, you know, Peter, I'm pretty perceptive, and I have just a weird feeling about this. And
well, it's going to be a real lesson then in personal hatred. And I think it's one of the most important things for all of us to be thinking about. I mean, I'm often talking about this issue of hatred with Ginger as we do our reform work.
Well, hold on, Peter. We're going to talk more about hatred. I want you to also contemplate the question, how can we make society less hateful? And we'll take some questions with you. Peter Bragan, our guest, as we talk about why people hate. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Peter Bragan with us, Dr. Peter Bragan. We'll take your calls in just a second. So, Peter, let me ask you this. How do you make society less hateful? Is that even possible?
Well, I think it's possible to keep working on it. That's what civilization has been doing for a long time. You know, it's a thin veneer. Nazi Germany, we have many other examples. It's a thin veneer that covers us and allows the unleashing of hatred and violence. I think it's a similar problem to what about the school shooters? How do we prevent young people from growing up and becoming school shooters? I got two definite thoughts about it. One, don't turn to my colleagues in psychiatry. Both the left and the right now, George, are claiming that the way to solve the problem of violence is to increase the power of psychiatrists. Psychiatrists are violent in themselves. We do shock treatment. We lock people up. We drug people. We offend civil liberties.
Yeah,
we don't know anything about discovering who's violent. We don't know anything about helping people who are violent as a profession. So that's the first thing. We can't go in that direction. But if we just look at our schools, the more we can have environments that are free of bullying, free of humiliation, and that are inviting to help kids join into society, join into the classroom, the more we can reach out to young people, the better we're going to do. And the more we can do to help the family, these huge problems, the more we can do to help families be strong and be loving, the better off we're going to be. I mean, the real secret here does lie, I think, mostly in how we're going to be raising our kids. Because hatred comes out of frustrated love. It comes out of not having love. It comes out of not being cared for, not being connected. That's where the worst of it comes from. It's a part of us, but that's when it gets amplified.
And they feel wronged, don't they?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, every school shooter, to use that example, feels wronged. Now, I was also thinking about the issue you raised. Do these people have friends? And will somebody know the bomber? And I was thinking about the most famous bomber of all, in many ways, was the Unabomber.
Ted Kaczynski, his brother turned him in.
Finally, after years, his brother recognized his writing. He didn't see him do anything. He wasn't in touch with him at all, but he recognized his writing. That's how isolated hatred can make an individual and how hard it can be to find him if he's acting as a loner.
All right, let's go to the phones. Maureen in Medford, Mass., and I should say she's a first-time caller in Medford, Mass. One of the three victims who died in the bombing, 29-year-old Crystal Campbell, was from Medford, Mass. Hi, Maureen. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Dr. George. I love you, and I was wondering your opinion on something. I can't remember the date, but I would say it was probably about a month and a half ago. You had a person on that wrote a book and about the blind sheikh that was getting information out, and this is one of the things he said to do.
Well, that may be very possible.
Do you remember that, George? Like they were saying, like all the people that are here now, the young people that must have felt wrong with, you know, it's all governments that are, you know, I wish people would understand that, but all our governments, we're like ants. And, you know, in every society, they have governments and they just control us all. And they're not the only ones. We're not the only ones. We don't want people getting hurt there, you know. It's just very, very sad. And to see, you know, Mrs. Campbell up there, it just broke my heart and saddened me, because I think we have to come together as a society. And, you know, like, I have a neighbor across the street. We don't get along. Finally, we got along. It was like, you know what? This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's like, you know, I grew up that everybody knew each other. we didn't like each other, some of us, but it's like, you know, I want to know that I have somebody that I want you to know, too, that if you need something or something happens, you come here. Or I want to feel I can go there. That's been missing in the society. Everybody, hopefully, that if the people aren't working now, can start doing that. Go to school, see your kids, see what they're learning, see what's going on, and get involved.
Well, that's an interesting take, Maureen. And Peter, let me ask you. Financial stress on people, does that make them hate people more?
I think it's a relatively minor issue unless it's become associated with their identities. You get class hatred, you get envy. You know, hatred is really about who we are, how we feel about ourselves, and what we identify as the sort of the black beast in our lives, the enemy in our lives, the danger in our lives to us, rather than looking at our own selves and saying, we got to get strong, we got to get empowered. And I like what your caller was saying, that we need to respond to the continued threat to our existence, the continued exposure to hatred in society, which will always be there. We need to respond to it by saying, that's not us, that's not how we're going to respond, we're not going to give that much power to other people that we're going to hate them and ruin our spiritual state over them. We've got to rise above that. Like the heroes that were racing toward the explosion. It was so graphic in the videos. Here's this whoever this person who created that violence, and then there's all these other people pulling the best out of themselves and racing into the smoke and the carnage to save lives. And we just have to know we can do that, and that's what we're supposed to do here on Earth. That's how it's supposed to be.
Okay, let's go next to Caleb in Grants Pass, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Caleb, go ahead.
Hey, George. It's an honor to speak to you and Dr. Peter. I'm a huge fan of the show. I listen to your show religiously every day, and also Alex Jones is I'm excited he's a guest on tonight.
Yeah, right around the corner.
And, I work at a coffee shop where I meet lots of people every day, and they're always different. And it is interesting to see the ones who come through that are, you know, happy and love life, and so many that come through and hate their lives or have that hate and where it comes from, like Dr. Peter's talking about, and you know, just trying to change that in them or make them feel like they have a purpose or a reason to be here, and they can only do it within 30 seconds or a minute.
Well, that would be nice. Peter, there's so many bitter people out there, though. So many bitter people. It's almost endless.
I like the point that your caller made about people about our hating ourselves. I think that hatred for others starts with hatred of ourselves. And we have to just continue to really communicate the best culture of the West, which has been that we should be loving one another and that we need to find that part of ourselves and express that part of ourselves. And not let the inevitable frustrations and even horrors of life corrupt our ability to be a source of love and of caring. We just have to keep coming back to that. And we have to teach that to children. We have to stop stop saying we don't teach morality in school. We have to communicate to young people the importance of the basic principles of life. Of caring for each other, nurturing each other, being kind to each other, looking out for each other. We've just got to make it such a bigger part of our lives, the way we talk to each other, the way we educate each other.
See,
we're losing that.
I think most people, Peter, are caring people, truly caring people. But it's that small percent of haters, like this bomber perhaps, that just destroy humanity.
Well, they're always going to be with us. And under the right circumstances, they become the leaders of nations, or the wrong circumstances. So while it's a small percentage under ordinary, or let's say under good circumstances, it's a small percentage. But those good circumstances require all of us finding shared beliefs and caring for each other and loving each other. Because while most people are basically kind and caring, that falls apart pretty easily, George. It's one of the horrible lessons of this century, as we have all these exterminations going on, tribal exterminations, religious exterminations, political exterminations, how easily people turn on each other. I think that's a real fact of life. But hopefully our culture will continue to be one in which people can feel empowered enough and can feel successful enough that those who hate themselves and therefore hate us are going to stay in the minority and stay in small numbers.
Okay, next up, we go to Marie, Buffalo, New York. Hello, Marie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Love you. I'm 75. I've been laying in bed tonight thinking about all this bombing. And that little boy's picture is in my mind all night. I just cry. With the sign that he wrote, don't hurt the children, and he wrote peace under it. And I'm thinking, what kind of a person could harm it? Well, I think it went like this. There's 26,000 runners. What do runners run with? Their legs, right? They fix the bombs in places that they, when they go off, they would strike people in the legs. They had like 17 to 19 amputees.
All legs.
I'm wondering if it's an ex-serviceman who was an amputee who did this. And I love all the servicemen. God bless them all. I had two sons in the service years ago. And about, it had to be someone with, you got to love yourself in order to love, I got to love me to love you. And this person has to have no conscience, no love. I think he's a loner. And maybe if he had a wheelchair, he could hide the bomber on the back of him, you know? But that's what I think happened. Because they were all runners, he's going to hurt other legs. You get it? Because he don't have his.
Well, that, you know what? That's not a bad thought, not a bad theory at all. Peter, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's possible. I get a little anxious about making too many huge deductions. I like your intuition, though, that maybe this is a loner. Maybe this isn't an organized terrorist act. You know, you've got a lot of wisdom and experience, George. But I don't want to go too far till we know what's going on. And I think it's just so important that you focused on this generic problem of hatred. Because whatever's going on, it's got something to do with that. And how are we going to continue to evolve our society and our culture so that people feel good enough about themselves and empowered enough about themselves that they don't cave into hatred? And keep in mind, you know, that people who hate are their own victims. They are destroying their own lives as well as the lives of others. And we just have to find a way to keep reaching out to young people in every way we can, in all the classes and cultures of our society.
Yeah, we're just going to have to step it up a little bit.
We really do need to. I mean, we have just so much going on in this country now that is afflicting our children. We have the inner cities where the children are growing up with such enormous disadvantages. Even in our better communities, which is where Lanza came from, people are isolated. They're ignoring the children. They're not making serious efforts to include kids who are outliers and isolated. We need a renewed devotion to really loving and bringing up our kids in this culture. But it isn't going to end the violence. The violence has been with us. You know, read the Bible or read the classic Greek classics. It's the hate and the violence has been here all along, and it's always the challenge ahead of us.
Now we go to Anthony in St. Louis. Anthony, go ahead, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
I just wanted to pose a question to your guest. You know, George, being from around the St. Louis area, I can't speak for anybody else. I can just speak for St. Louis. And I hold the mentality that, you know, I'm not the racist. I hate everybody equally. You know, unless if somebody's mean to me, I'll be mean to them. You know, if they're nice to me, be nice to them. But what are people supposed to do when it seems like, you know, there are people here that have made pretty much the city uninhabitable, and everything seems to be, you know, some sort of violence, or it seems to be like a small select group of people who are playing games like the knockout game, and, you know, social stigmas and whatnot seem to give people like this generalized idea. And what are some things we could do to maybe either combat that or spread awareness or make people think, you know, maybe there's more to it instead of just going off the generalizations of what they see in the news and really only what they can't help but think. You know what I mean? Like,
well, these groups, that's another issue all by itself, Peter, isn't it?
Yeah. Why don't you pick up on this one? Because I'm not entirely clear what you're caller is asking.
Well, you get all these groups that get together instead of individuals. You get all these people doing these very weird, whacked out things as a group, and they literally, you know, destroy areas and communities. Mm. I mean, what he's alluding to, there are spots in St. Louis that you don't even want to go down at night. You know, you just have to get away, and it's probably that way with most metropolitan cities. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And we do need to change a whole tone of our country. We're becoming fragmented. We're becoming more and more class warfare. I think in some ways there's more racism now than before, at least, you know, than maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We've got to find a unifying theme that we are all in this together, that we want to help each other, and we've got to do it in a context of I believe, of freedom, of more freedom, not less freedom. Now we get into the largest political issues, and ultimately, those are the things that determine how much hatred dominates a culture. You know?
How about the separation, Peter, between the haves and the have-nots? As that gets bigger, and it is, don't we create more hatred somewhere? I mean, the middle class gets eroded, so most of the middle class gets into the have-not category. Those people get upset.
Yes, I think that envy motivates, is the underlying aspect or a core aspect of a lot of hatred, and it has to do with perception. If people are perceiving that other people are getting much more than they are, and if they perceive that it's unjust, then they are going to be more and more angry and more violent, and it's going to contribute to communications in a family, which are going to encourage kids to feel more and more resentful and more angry and more violent. There's absolutely no doubt about it, George, that these kinds of discrepancies really do feed a hatred. On the other hand, there's the danger that in trying to manage that, you end up by leveling, because hatred is one of the great levelers of society.
That's
true.
It brings
the whole society down, whole society.
Peter, thanks again for being on the program. Peter's book, The Heart of Being Helpful. We talked about hatred. Up next, Alex Jones, the Bulldog, joins us on Coast to Coast AM. Well, lots going on this planet, so I thought we'd bring in Alex Jones tonight and talk with him and get his views on all kinds of world issues. Department of Homeland Security buying ammunition, tanks. What's that all about? TSA continuing to do what it does, allowing knives on planes next week? My gosh, it's madness. Genetically modified foods. We'll check in with Alex Jones, Infowars.com, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Alex Jones, award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher, host in his own right, his websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. They're way at the top of the foremost media. Alex is recognized as the father of the truth movement of 9/11. And he is a digging reporter. Welcome back to Coast, none other than Alex Jones. If I had a drum, I'd have someone beat it for you.
How are you? You gotta be kidding. That's what I do when you come on my little show. George, it is great to be here to talk about the globalist master plan, the big issues, the long term. There's lots of distractions going on, lots of things happening that the media are hyping up. But you look at the big issues, and I know you invited me on about a week ago to come on and talk about transhumanism, GMO, the move to replace the Chinese slaves with robots, why the future doesn't need us, the big issues. Will humanity make it? That's up to us. But the big issues tonight, obviously, but we probably do need to spend a few minutes on the tragedy that, you know, regardless of what really happened, whoever was behind it, for all of those, I listened to you last night break that down eloquently with your guest, for all the people there and so many going through the trauma of just watching no time in history, you know, like this, the high-def video and photos of arms and legs blown off.
Oh, it's unbelievably
blood
sad.
Everywhere.
Yeah, just truly tragic. And I don't know what's happening to this society, Alex. You know, I just had Peter Bragan on right before you
came on. I heard
it.
What makes people enjoy this? What makes them evil?
I mean, it is absolutely repulsive. Whether it's a lone gunman, some organized group, or whoever, what would make someone want to do this? You know,
well, the lust for power, the lust for control, the lust to see the media completely focus on them, the lust to make trillions of dollars invading countries and selling robots to every city to fight non-existent bombings. There's a lot of issues. You know, I have the New York Times here in front of me from last April 28th, terror plots hatched by the FBI. And the New York Times talks about, in this article, just a few cases, but there's hundreds, of the government going out and finding mentally ill people, anybody could do that, and then giving them the weapons and pointing them in the direction to then play the part of heroes. And I'm not saying that that's what's happened with this case, but I do know this. There were 4,000 great National Guard out there, great men and women, you know, not part of the conspiracy, if there is one, out there trying to protect people, but violating the Fourth Amendment, searching bags and running checkpoints. There were 2,000 multi-jurisdictional police, Boston police, you name it. So that's 2,400. There were hundreds of FBI and others out there. So over 2,000 different types of security people. That's more people for the police state than North Korea has in their capital city per square mile. And it didn't stop what happened. So when I see the SecDef of the Department of Defense, Hagel, in the press conferences today and before Congress saying, we'll put troops everywhere in America, well, troops and a checkpoint to get in a mall or a checkpoint at the TSA, that's where real terrorists would go to actually detonate a bomb. So let me just give everybody a newsflash here. Anybody that tells you, give up liberty, I'll protect you, as Benjamin Franklin said, is a liar. You cannot control the human mind, whether the person's good,
nope,
evil,
or
whatever.
You cannot. And wasn't it Thomas Jefferson, because we're going to talk about guns a little bit later, Alex, did he not say that if you take away the guns, I'm paraphrasing, take away the guns from the good people, the only one who will have the guns is the criminal who plans to use it?
Absolutely. That's a Thomas Jefferson quote right there. You're right, George. And we just repeat history over and over again. So my issue is, they're talking about robots and more cameras and more police state and more surveillance, when all that will be done is the oppression of the people. That's all it's ever used for. I mean, having troops on the streets is to control the general public. It's not to catch someone who's willing to die in an attack. There is no way to stop someone if they're committed to something. So this idea that we'd all better be afraid, and again, for the three people that died, the 100-plus that were wounded, you know, it's terrible. I empathize with them. If I see an old lady fall down at the mall and break her hip, which I saw once, I heard it snap when she fell.
Oh.
I mean, I still have, you know, nightmares about that. I have empathy because I'm not a psychopath. I'm not a sociopath. You're the same. Most of your listeners are the same. We have empathy. But when we have to understand, there are millions, 15 million children starving a year, roughly 20 million adults starving, so close to 40 million people worldwide, you know, 35 million starving to death, most of them children. When they drop a bomb from a Predator drone, in some cases, it's killed 200-plus innocent people to get one reported bad guy, and they go, oh, collateral damage. So I don't see press conferences and personalizing each child. I see the photos of Al-Qaeda that NATO's using to take over Syria right now, and they're chopping Christians' heads off and blowing up mosque that they don't control and going after people.
It's out of control.
And it's never on our news, but you know what? I've seen the photos of where they blow up a square, people our government supporting, and there's hundreds dead and hundreds of arms and legs, and it's never on our news. So I'd like to hear about the little Syrian girls blown in half. I'd like to hear about all that. So then when they tell me it's time to be sad now, we said so, and here's my final point on the bombing.
All right, go ahead.
My final point on the bombing, because I want to hear your point, George, is this. Right now they're trying to pass total blanket open border amnesty and to give Homeland Security its own control over that and take Congress out of the loop. That's unconstitutional. They're trying to pass massive gun restrictions and registration where they can take your guns on the word of one psychologist, not a judge, not a jury, not proof. And they're trying to give Homeland Security other domestic powers, and Hagel is talking about basically soft martial law. All that is before Congress with a razor-thin margin. All of it is failing because not all the House and Senate members are corrupt. So this happens, and it diverts everyone, and, oh, let's get behind what the government wants or what the president wants. The whole thing is very, very suspicious. That's all I have to say.
Where do you, Alex, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line between the reality of an event and the possibility of the conspiracy of the event? And by that I mean so many people, the minute something happens, they immediately say, without even looking at any facts, whether some little old lady gets hit by a car, oh my gosh, it was a conspiracy. They were out to get her.
Sure.
Instead of it just being a lousy accident. It happened. At what point, and for you, because you know you amass a huge following, where do you draw that line where you have to say to yourself, there's something wrong here. This picture doesn't look right, whether it's Building 7 going down or whatever, or there truly are some crazed people out there who hate our guts.
Sure.
How do you do that?
Man, that's the best question I've been asked in forever, because I struggle with this every day. I mean, I want your listeners to know something. I don't just look at an event and say, hey, what will be sensational? I've got three children. I've got a wife. I've got a family. I try to, with integrity, get things right. And that doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. We all do. But it's a historical spectrum of research. It's fact-checking. It's looking at the events that lead up to something. It's watching for telltale signs. Here's an example. At the time, hyperventilating and watching it all happen, I saw some of the wilder conspiracy theories and said, yeah, maybe Joe Stack, who reportedly flew his private plane into the IRS building in Austin where I live, pretty close to where I lived at the time, by the way. I could see the smoke that morning. Driving into work, I didn't know what it was, and then got to work, and they said, you don't know about the plane. And, you know, at the time, I was like, maybe it's a staged event, maybe it's not. In hindsight, I look at it, and now we know the case, and he was a guy who had his house taken, his business taken.
Right.
He thought he paid the taxes. They were cheating him. He was angry. He wanted to get back. I probably now, looking at that, my gut tells me in hindsight, with all the evidence, that was a real event. Joe Stack flying his plane into the Austin IRS building looks like it was real. That said, though, a woman walks on an Israeli bus, stabs 15 people. Because her own son had been shot at a checkpoint a week before. That's a crime of passion. The media wasn't on it. They're not hyping it. They're not ready with scripts. You can tell that's a real event. But when you look at other events, when Operation Gladio has been declassified by the Italian and German governments, and I've had the former head of the German Defense Department on to talk about it, Andres von Bülow, it's been declassified that NATO staged more than 200 bombings in Europe from the 60s to the 80s to blame their political enemies. If a right-wing group was getting popular they didn't like, they'd blow something up, blame it on them. The left-wing group was getting popular, they'd blow something up, blame it on them. You know, whatever the Bilderberg group didn't like, it happened. And now the head of the Italian Supreme Court, who was in intelligence, has gone public with documents last week in the major Italian papers saying Bilderberg is a global mafia. They are staging terror attacks anytime people try to get their basic liberty. So my point is, from Hitler burning the Reichstag to Hitler running Operation Himmler with Gleiwitz to to blow up their own bases, to blame Poland in 1939, to Operation Northwoods and Ajax and Gulf of Tonkin. We know that criminal elements in governments, the Soviets did it, the Czars before them, Mao did it. We know it's a tool to blow something up or let something happen or fund a crazy or fund a criminal group to do something. We know that goes on. We know that happens. But there are real events that happen as well. When the media hypes terror in every movie, every TV show, everywhere, you're going to get copycats or mentally ill people that also go out and do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you're getting hit with all these different waves of possibilities. I mean, there is no question in my mind, Alex, that the globalists, the elitists, will do anything to control us, to pull our rights down, to rip things apart. They'll do anything. And what's so frustrating for someone like me and you is that when events occur, we really have to question the possibilities of either one.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunate.
Exactly. You just hit the nail right there on the head. The point I was trying to make is that my frustration is it could be a lone, crazy psychopath that just wants attention.
And they're out there.
It was the plot of The Family Guy on the 17th that a guy bombs the marathon to win right at the finish line. Maybe a crazy saw that and went out and did it.
That's right. Good point.
There was a guy, remember about 12, 13 years ago before 9/11, somebody bombed all over the Midwest and it made the shape of a smiley face, and it turned out the guy did it because of Fight Club.
Right. And what about the book? Wasn't there a book written by the former governor of Oklahoma's brother or something?
Yes.
About the bombing of a federal building or something?
Tom McVeigh bombs the Oklahoma City. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
It was published 6 months before. Yeah, so there's lots of weird stuff. All I know is this. All I know is that I don't watch a lot of TV, but I watch YouTube and things, and people kind of aggregate it. And my wife watches TV when she's on the treadmill exercising. She's a sports fanatic. I wish I was. And she says, Alex, I can't watch a sitcom, a drama, a sports show, a cop show, or even this show about remaking houses where they don't demonize the founding fathers and gun owners and families and fathers, period. And, I mean, they've got shows like The Following where the psychopaths love patriots and libertarians that carry out attacks. There's shows like Founding Fathers where the highly decorated vet is really Al Qaeda and poses as Tea Party to blow stuff up. The Family Guy, has shows where the cowboy joins the Taliban and blows up the Boston Marathon 2 weeks ago, and now they're expunging that off all the DVRs and off the TiVo, saying it's a hoax when it's not a hoax. Very creepy. That's happening right now. You've got no exaggeration. I did the math today. 22 current TV shows where every episode. I mean, I was talking to my buddy who watched Hawaii Five-0, the new season. He says every other episode, a returning veteran is shooting cops or planting bombs or blowing up sporting events. None of that was real. So when I see a mega massive buildup right up to what happened, where they go, oh my gosh, the people that believe in a new world order, the people that believe that the globalists are going to steal your bank account, which is happening in Europe. The people that believe in the Second Amendment, they're terrorists. I'm like, there's no evidence of this. It's not happening. Then the FBI and police training manuals on Fox News say all Catholics are the same as Al-Qaeda and all evangelicals. This is a mainstream headline 2 weeks ago. They're going to stage attacks. And the state police of Colorado came out last week and said, we're in mandatory federal training where they ask us, will we arrest Christians en masse? It's like saying, will you arrest Jews en masse? I mean, it's so evil. It's so unconstitutional. 2 billion bullets. They tried to deny it. Now they admit it. They're stonewalling Congress and Homeland Security. Thousands of armored vehicles. Checkpoints everywhere. Where I live in Austin, I'm driving down the road 2 weeks ago with my dad, okay, and my son. And we look over after church, and there's Army walking around at a checkpoint. So we pull up. I shot a YouTube video. The Army's asking us questions.
About what?
They were just, where are you going? And I'm like, who are you? National Guard.
Who are you?
It gets worse. Then I get downtown where we were going, the Kite Festival, and there's National Guard there searching people. So maybe they had a threat. I don't know. The point is...
Well, now, let me ask you, though. Well, finish your point first. Go ahead.
I don't want to stop. The point is, this is what martial law looks like. They're quietly rolling it out. They're quietly phasing it in.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Given the fact that we do know there are nuts out there and crazies who would do harm to people.
Sure.
Does that upset you that they would want to go through your wife's purse or your backpack to make sure there's nothing in it when all they really want to do, those guys, is to make sure you're safe?
Sure, but what they're doing is getting rid of the innocent until proven guilty. They're getting rid of the Fourth Amendment that your person and personal effects and your body and your home are going to be exempt. Plus, all a real terrorist will do is wherever you set up the checkpoint, if you set up a checkpoint before the checkpoint, before the checkpoint, if you set up the checkpoint 10 miles from the airport...
He's going to go somewhere else.
He's going to go bomb the people at the checkpoint. That's the biggest group of people. I mean, the idea, again, 400 troops, 2,000 police, FBI, helicopters, everything, Boston Marathon, at the finish, can't stop it. And then I came out. I was still broadcasting in overdrive, internet only, at like 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern when it happened. And I immediately said, watch, my gut tells me they'll try to blame the Tea Party, regardless of whether it's staged or not. And there were like 10 newscasts that right after that came on and said, I bet it's Tea Party that did this. Michael Moore has said it. Chris Matthews has said it. CNN has said it. I mean, I was watching CNN last night.
Tea Party because of gun rights? I mean, I got an email.
They have no proof. I mean, here's the issue.
I got an email yesterday from someone who said, this is a lone nut who is a gun activist, as we all are, but this guy wants to prove that you can kill people without a gun. And, you know, and I looked at that and I said, you know what? The email makes sense. I don't know about the motive, but the email makes sense.
Now, that makes sense. And again, we don't know. All I know is that within 1 hour of it happening, I said, watch, they're going to blame the Tea Party and pro-liberty groups, and which is across the board, liberal, conservative. I know everybody loves freedom, but you know, they try to make it left or right. And then, sure enough, I get criticized for saying that, though I was right, and it all happened. So that's my issue, George. And then you've got the marathon coach saying they were running a drill. They were announcing on loudspeakers, never mind what's happening. This is part of the drill. Everything's safe. Right before it exploded, and then Rob Dew, my news director for my nightly news show, Rob Dew's brother-in-law, because I've seen him have arguments with him on the phone, you know, his wife's brother is in Army intelligence as an officer. He is on the Army marathon team, and he called Rob's wife at about 5 o'clock, his sister, and said, yeah, it's weird. They pulled me out of the race towards the end. You know, I was you know, pretty close to the lead. They said, you're dehydrated. You're going to the hospital. And I didn't think that made sense because normally they, you know, people can crawl across the finish line. And I'm being taken to the hospital.
They wanted him out of the way for some reason.
They wanted him out of the way. But here's the deal. Rob hasn't talked to him since then. No one will answer the phone. The wife hasn't been able to see him. And that's something that actually happened.
Well, that's weird. That's weird. Alex, stay with us. Coming back for more when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, thank you to those of you who are taking a peek at our television show, Beyond Belief. And you can do the same. It's 10 days free. Simply go up to our website, click hosts, and the TV button opens up and take advantage of that. But I really want you also to look at all the incredible volumes of videos that are available when you take advantage of the 10 days free. Just click through it and have some fun. And welcome back to Coast, Alex Jones with us. Alex, so much to talk with you about. I want to might as well do it in segments here on these various topics. Let's talk for a moment about drones. Where do we stand with drones right now? What's happening?
Well, as you know, George, about a year ago, the FAA funded, what, $46 billion over the next decade to launch 30,000 drones. And just two or three years ago, we talk about this, and, oh, that's ridiculous. There won't be drones, much less autonomous. And now they're saying, oh, yes, there'll be autonomous drones. That means they're robotic with their own missions. They choose their targets, surveilling you. And from Australia to Germany to Canada to the U.S., the different environmental groups in the government are using drones, but also piloted aircraft and satellites to watch farmers, ranchers, you name it, who build an unauthorized barn on their property. So the drones out of the gates are also being weaponized now against the people. And the Pentagon has put out just a few weeks ago a training video showing a cruise missile that flies over a city and releases 100 little drones out the back that land and then spy on you. But that's more, you know, the sexy high-tech drones, Hollywood drones. The real drones are software on all phones under the Telecommunications Act that pinpoint your location, that listen to you even when the phone is turned off. They can dial in with keyword software. It's the camera and microphones on the laptops. It's the smart meters, which the robots can't walk or move. They're slave robots attached to the side of your house, and all the new appliances, as the former CIA director admitted last year, Petraeus in Wired Magazine, he said, oh, it's great. Your toaster and your washing machine was the headline. Your washer is listening and washing you. And it was like, yeah, we listen to you. And Google admits the patents. Remember, Google got caught all over the world with their Google cars with key NSA software, it's a government front, hacking in and downloading all your passcodes and downloading everything on your computer and listening to you. So it's a technocracy, and that was the big, you know, obvious point we were going to get into tonight, is why is the elite wedded to this idea of putting this digital skin, this smart dust, into place? And the bottom line is the elite think of us as dumb animals who are infesting the earth and eating up their resources. So they're going to use computers and robots to track and trace and socially engineer us to make us pliable and submissive so we can then be exterminated.
They think it's their responsibility to do this, don't they?
Absolutely. The White House science czar wrote Eco-Science, bragging about it in the 70s. Bertrand Russell, 80 years ago, wrote about it. I mean, this is their religion. And that's why they can fund terrorists to attack us, to scare us into submission. That's why, you know, they can come out and say it's either Al-Qaeda that attacked us or it's libertarians.
But you don't deny that there is some Al-Qaeda, Middle Eastern people, fanatics who hate us.
There are real groups, and then they get recruited under multinational organizations to engage in selective controlled attacks. And the compartmentalized low-level people don't even know what they're part of. They believe they're fighting for, you know, the jihad, Allah, whatever.
That's right.
For Wahhabism, but they're working for a higher cause to scare the West into giving up its liberty and freedom. I mean, you know, where is the apology that I get from mainstream media saying Alex Jones is crazy? He says Al-Qaeda was created by the West when that's part of mainline history. And then you've got now, again, as I said earlier, but we got into drones. It's just that, to watch them say, give your rights up because of Al-Qaeda, while at Benghazi and in Libya, we know 10,000 heat-seeking missiles at least were given to Al-Qaeda. You know, I don't want to give my rights up because our government used Al-Qaeda to take over Libya. I'm no fan of
democracy. Well, and how many mainstream media people, Alex, even know that when the Soviets were in Afghanistan, we created and backed the freedom fighters who were called the Mujahideen, who became part of the Taliban, part of Al-Qaeda, and they grew and they grew and they grew while we continued through the CIA to pump millions of dollars
exactly
into their coffers to get them to fight the Soviets. And then
exactly, that's why I'm frustrated, is that you're informed, you know, you've won all these big Emmys and news awards, you're a smart guy obsessed with the news. I spend all day reading news. This is all history. It's not debated. And then I'll be on CNN, and they'll say, you claim our government started Al-Qaeda. You're un-American. And I'm like, I'm un-American? America is our Bill of Rights and Constitution, Declaration of Independence and private property and the family and the Second Amendment and free speech, all of which is under attack. And I'm pointing out that foreign globalist interests are manipulating all sides towards order out of chaos, and I want my Bill of Rights and Constitution back. I don't want to be penalized because some group you're funding with a bunch of nutcases is going to blow something up. Don't treat me like I'm a criminal. Exactly. That's it, and that's what I'm sick of. Plus, again, they can't protect me. It's all theater. Meanwhile, talk about real threats, George. The globalists, as you know and have talked about, are pushing vaccines that on record have made autism go from 1 in 25,000 sure. to 1 in
poorly tested. Well, then, as you know, I don't take the vaccine. I will never tell someone not to. That's their business. But I don't take the flu shot. I don't take any of it. I had a vaccine when I was in the Navy that blew my arm up the size of a basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, that was the last I ever had, and that was it for me.
You know, my uncle, who's a Vietnam veteran, I don't have to tell him about vaccines. They gave him a tetanus shot on his way to Vietnam that put him in the hospital for 2 weeks.
I mean, somebody told me last year, you know, they're going to get a flu shot. And I said, all right, you know, God love you. And they got it, and they got really sick. And she said, I'm never going to get one of those again. I was fine until I got the shot, she said. But you go in and get it, and you get sick.
I remember you in 2003 on Coast to Coast AM when you'd first been on about 6 months. You were the only national host. That's why I admire you because, you know, as Mark Twain said in the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and feared, because in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And you had Captain Joyce Riley and all these other hosts on, medical doctors on, about the smallpox shot and how it was known to cause autoimmune reactions in the heart and kill people. And then a year later, they suspended the shot because they admitted it was killing people. But, you know, you were the bad. Again, all we're trying to do is do the right thing. It doesn't mean we have all the answers. We just know that there's a lot of special interest who are cold-blooded and the devil take it all. They don't care. They're going to go ahead with their agenda. And then meanwhile, you've got genetic engineering. You've got the GMO. You've got all the cross-species splicing going on. You've got all these dozens of crops that grow their own pesticides that bugs can't eat it. If they do, they die. But the FDA says it's safe for me to eat. And then in the rat studies and gerbil studies, it deforms and kills the rats, but I'm supposed to just believe it's good and then be lectured all day how carbon dioxide that we exhale, that plants live off of, is a poison, so we've got to shut down our power plants, but China gets to build all the power plants it wants, and then Apple, Foxconn factories are replacing the humans with millions of robots, Associated Press, and the humans that are left working 18 hours a day are jumping off the high-rise apartment prison buildings at a rate so high they put up suicide nets. I mean, that's beyond Soylent Green. And the real...
Great movie.
Absolutely. Charlton Heston the Great. And they're telling me that, okay, 3 people dead, 100 wounded, change your whole life because of this, while hundreds of thousands die from flesh-eating bacteria in the U.S. every year, admitted. Hundreds of thousands die from bad drug interactions. Hundreds of thousands die from bad medical procedures. We're talking, you know, 600,000 total or more. And no one cares. It's not on the radar. But, oh, my gosh, in high def, here's 3 dead people. We need to ban your liberties because of this. I mean, how would I not be suspicious of the entire motive? Here, let's sell every city $15 million of bomb disposal robots. Let's put $2 billion in 1 year of Homeland Security cameras 5 years ago in Boston, and then Representative Peter King says, we need more cameras. Hell, it was the end of the race. With thousands of cameras, and they can't find,
the person.
I mean, would 10,000 National Guard keep us safe? Would a TSA agent doing a proctology exam of every single person going through there keep us safe? And the answer is no.
Let me ask you about TSA.
Yes, sir.
There are things that they do which I don't like. I think over-screening. you know, patting down little old ladies in wheelchairs, stuff like that is crazy. The judgment is nuts. But allowing, as of next week, to take a 2.36-inch knife on board that plane, to me, is ludicrous. After all these things that have been going on, any lunatic could bring a knife on that. And with a 2.36-inch knife, you can inflict some pretty darn bodily harm into somebody, Alex.
Well, yeah, take the Lone Star College thing in Texas last week, where 12-plus people were stabbed by a 1-inch X-Acto knife. And my issue is this. England is trying to register butcher knives now because they took the guns of the stabbings exploded. And I want to know why they make pilots who we trust with a whole aircraft, this giant missile, this giant weapon. Why do pilots have to jump, because I've interviewed them and you've interviewed them, through dozens of hoops to have a locked up in a safe, a firearm in the cockpit. But yeah, now we're going to let people take knives on the plane. It's just not, that's what I'm saying, George, is the world, a lot of it isn't.
It makes no sense. What is a pilot going to do? Let's assume you're the pilot for a moment. You're in there, the door's locked, you're in there with your co-pilot. You're up about 30,000 feet, and all of a sudden, the stewardess, the flight attendant, is knocking on your door because some guy has a knife to her neck and says, if you don't let me in, I'm going to cut her throat.
And you open the door.
You open the door.
Rounds that won't go through the plane. You shoot the guy in the head. But no, he can't have a gun. It's crazy.
So, I mean, that's another disaster. I've been reading a book on Cuba. And this, I just want to set the stage for a moment. A country that we still don't trade with. We trade with China. They roll over people in tanks. But we're not trading with Cuba. Anyway, Batista, when he was running Cuba, was a criminal.
Oh, yeah.
He was a criminal. He was involved with the mob. He was getting payoffs. He was as bad as it comes. He was killing off people that didn't agree with him. He was horrible. Castro, as he came in with his freedom fighters, was looked at as the great savior, but he tricked everybody. As soon as he got in, and he brought in, by the way, medicine and education, and he did some great things that Batista didn't do anything with. But the moment he went in there, he joined the Communist Party. He captured all the land. He threw out American businesses, not just the mobsters, but good American businesses that were in there, sugar companies and stuff like that. And he tricked everybody. But I still don't know at this point. And by the way, but the story I wanted to mention was Nixon, when he was the vice president, running against Kennedy for the presidency, ordered Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA, not to tell Nixon, not to tell Kennedy about the Bay of Pigs planning, which was going on with the CIA, and Nixon knew about it. I mean, they kept secrets from everybody. Everybody. And the CIA was behind that, created all of that, and of course that fell apart. That was a disaster.
Exactly. But just because Batista is bad, it doesn't mean Fidel's good, and that's my whole point. You know, Al-Qaeda's bad, but Western created, so why do we give our rights up because of Al-Qaeda? And it's the same story. Again, I go back to this. 400 troops, thousands of police, FBI, couldn't protect you. Now they're saying more of that will protect us. No, it won't. And then a year before 9/11, they allowed pilots to be armed until then, but very few, you know, thought to carry a gun. Why? There weren't any real hijackings going on for a long time, you know, in the West. There were some in the Middle East. But then a year before, they take the guns, and then they've done everything they can to stop pilots. If you're going to trust them with the aircraft, with this big missile, they could crash it on takeoff. They could crash it on landing. They could do whatever they wanted. You're going to trust the pilot with a giant airplane, but you can't trust a pilot with a handgun. Then I rest my case. It just shows how it's all about a national security system that Eisenhower warned us about, using threats, provocateuring threats, staging threats, allowing threats to take place, to then grandstand. That's my issue. And then meanwhile, we've got the elite saying, and all these publications we'll cover in the next hour, that they're going to get rid of the humans and the people aren't needed and they're going to replace us and everything's going to be automated. And then meanwhile, they're imploding the economy to make us dependent on government. so that we'll basically be these decadent slobs while the technocracy replaces us. And then you have this whole bizarre transhumanist fascist movement that once the computers and robots are in place, the elite openly brag we're going to be wiped out, and the elite laugh and say, I'm not giving up on my humanity. Humanity is a thing of the past. I'm merging with the machines. I'm going to be a god. And they say this in hundreds of publications, and no one is paying attention to it. So while we're scared of whoever killed three people at the Boston Marathon, and the media is acting like it's the end of the world, there's giant issues going on. I saw a Washington Post article a few months ago that's had the headline.
And let me clarify that, because I want you to say this, because I don't want people to think you're not caring, you're insensitive. Three people died, 170 injured, 17 critical, a lot with their arms and legs blown off.
Oh, it's incredible.
You're not saying anything down on that.
No, absolutely not. It's the opposite. I saw the photos of a guy with his leg blown off at the knee with a bone sticking out with arteries hanging out.
Well, listen to this one. The little 8-year-old boy who was killed, who was waiting at the finish line for his father, who was in the race, his sister, 6 years old, had her arm blown off.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine
that father as he came down, running down in the marathon to come up to his family? His little boy's dead, and his 6-year-old daughter has an arm gone? He'll never be the same.
Well, I mean, I have children, as you do, and I don't even want to think about it. I mean, quite frankly, all the media sits there and says, oh, we care so much. Oh, we're so sad. Oh, it's terrible. But they're there basically narcissistically drawing in all the ratings. I personally have trouble even looking at the images. And on my own TV shows and things, I hardly even show it. I show a little bit to document it, but then we stop. The media just shows it over and over again. And, of course, I totally feel horrible for the three people that died, the 100-plus injured, and people arms and legs blown off. My point is that the establishment media only tells us to care and to have empathy for these people because they're selling an agenda on their backs, on their pain, to get rid of our Republican due process and bring in tyranny, and that makes it incredibly opportunistic and makes me mad. So I point out what drones do and war do, because all these people say, hey, let's just have all these wars. Let's glass parking lot all the Arabs. Let's take over the world. Let's nuke Russia. Let's nuke China. I want them to think about millions of people disfigured like that, so that they have real empathy. My point is, I'm tired of selective empathy. I have so much empathy that every time there's a false flag or an event that could be, I think of all the other events I know were staged or provocateur or allowed to happen, and it creates a rage in me, George, that I know you share.
I know that. I want to talk with you about North Korea, Alex, when we come back. You were on Piers Morgan's show a few weeks ago talking about guns. I want to talk with you about that, then we'll get into some GMOs as well. Alex Jones, our special guest. We will take calls tonight with Alex Jones as well. His website's all linked up for you at Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Going to talk with Alex Jones about GMOs, genetically modified foods, North Korea, and some other issues in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Alex Jones with us. Websites InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Alex, the two different websites, but do they provide you with the same material?
Oh, you know, sometimes websites go down, so I'd say 90% they're the same, but PrisonPlanet.com has some news and InfoWars.com doesn't. And we're fighting an info war to stop the planet from becoming a prison planet, because there's always been elites that want to just control everything. Instead of manufacturing something or literature or ideas, they don't compete. They just take over, and then everything else basically flows and society stagnates. So we're fighting the construction of the prison planet with the InfoWar.
Which of the two websites came first?
InfoWars.com came along in about 1996, and then PrisonPlanet.com was an auxiliary, and we have InfoWars Nightly News. that's on prisonplanet.tv as well. And I have a couple other backup websites as well. I have an online bibliography for my film on eugenics and the plan to reduce population. Whatistheendgame.com. Thanks for asking, George.
What was the episode that started turning around your personal life and your career to start investigating these kinds of stories of corruption and greed and globalism? What happened to you? I'm sure Alex Jones, the little kid, didn't think about the Bohemian Grove, but somewhere in your life, something did. What was that?
You know, that's a great point. I was a jock and, went and had local fist fights and played baseball and football the whole nine yards. But my mother did have a degree in history, and I began reading history books probably when I was 10. I was a good reader. That opened up the world, and I found they were as interesting as the Robert E. Howard Conan books I was reading and Louis L'Amour westerns I was reading. And so I ended up reading mainly history. And so by the time I got into college and I was reading what they were saying, I was like, wait, I've read about this before. This is authoritarianism, bad-mouthing guns, bad-mouthing fathers, bad-mouthing liberty, bad-mouthing free market, bad-mouthing everything this country was founded on. And so I recognized that tyranny when I was about 20 and began for about a year try to find a way to resist it. I won't talk about myself. It's kind of boring. But that's how I got on Access TV and a year later local radio and then syndicated. So I've been on the radio and TV since I was 21.
Wow. Good for you.
And so we're now talking 19 years or 18 years. Really purely out of a passion to defend this republic against globalism. And so that's what woke me up. Also, I grew up in a suburb of Dallas, Texas. I did not use drugs myself, but I had friends that were being arrested for marijuana and stuff. And I'd be at a party and watch a police car pull up and deliver the drugs. Deliver the drugs. And then I would be at school and they'd be having police, with police dogs through our lockers. And I saw the cop who I'd seen a few days before delivering drugs to a large party. And I confronted him. So they took me behind closed doors, beat me up, and said, if you don't shut up, we're going to frame you. Maybe even, they said some other things. It's too unbelievable. And so I think that was my awakening at about age 14.
Wow. I guess that would wake you up.
Well, yeah, I'm like, hey, I don't like this pot. It makes me want to go to sleep. I tried a few drugs here and there, hated it. I was a jock, but I'd go to these big parties, in wealthy areas, golf courses, out at the lake in Dallas, Texas, there on Lake Ray Hubbard. It was the police that were dealing the drugs. And by the way, the sheriff of the county, about a year after we moved down to Austin to get me away from it to finish high school, the sheriff went to jail for flying drugs into the county.
They did. They nailed him.
They nailed him.
This whole group. Did you ever do mainstream media at all and then break off? Or did you always do alternative when you started?
No, I immediately basically had an anti-UN, pro-America, pro-Second Amendment, pro-property right show. I mean, I was Agenda 21 day one in 1995 because they just had that a few years before. And I was just absolutely in the literature, in the books, in the research, interviewing Ron Paul, 1996. I mean, quite frankly, I was just out of the gates. As soon as I became a full-bore man, I was in the fight. And it seems like yesterday, but also 1,000 years ago.
Sure does. You were on Piers Morgan's show on CNN a month ago talking about guns, and you just destroyed him. And I got a kick out of watching that. I sent you a text message, I think, right after you got off the air.
I did get it. Thank you,
George. I didn't want to send it while you were up there still, but it was almost comical. He did not know how to handle you. He didn't know what to do. And, I mean, every step he took, he kept stepping in it. And that must have been an interesting experience for you.
You know, normally, I mean, I've been on The View, I've been on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, just like you have, George. And normally, I'm animated, I make my points, but I'm a gentleman. I mean, I'm a nice guy by nature, just like you and many others are. But by the grace of God, I had the flu, and I was throwing up in the Austin airport that morning to fly up to New York, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Rob Dew was with me. He was helping me. And they rolled me in there sweating and sick.
Worst feeling.
But they put me on stage with him, and he was going to just play these cliches and go after me. And instead, I just said, look, quit playing games. You're on record saying ban all the guns. Everywhere globalists are in control, they ban the guns. The goal is to ban the guns. Here are the quotes. And I'm going to tell you right now, not a threat, because I don't want this to happen. I mean, I'm a nonviolent guy. I'm not looking for trouble. Yeah. I'm not dumb enough to, you know, to be macho. Hey, let's get a civil war going here. You know, that's the opposite of what I want. But I told him, I said, if you try to launch the confiscation of our guns that Dianne Feinstein and Michael Moore are calling for, you are going to cause 1776 Part 2. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. And every other authoritarian did. While the government's buying billions of bullets and armored vehicles and arming to the teeth, they're saying, we the people, and the government gets its power from the consent of the governed. How dare you, when crime rates, and I had the FBI numbers printed off their own site, and I don't just follow government numbers, but the model of statisticians for 80 years off of J. Edgar Hoover, wasn't a perfect guy, but he was a statistician when he was hired, created the library filing system, all of it. You know, he was good at that.
He was good at numbers.
Absolutely. The FBI stats are, they're not perfect, but they're the best in the world. If you take a course in Germany or Russia or Japan or China or Mexico on stats, it's going to be FBI-based. Their numbers, the best in the world, show a 49% drop in crime from 1991 to 2011. The latest numbers they've got, they're always a year or two behind. And I was like, how dare you collectively blame all veterans, all gun owners, when there is a horrible, senseless murder of some serotonin reuptake inhibitor Prozac head? How dare you have ads all over your show? Because during the break coming in, they had an ad for a antipsychotic / antidepressant. I said, how dare you push this while blaming me for dead little kids? I took it personal. And because, George, I was sick and had 103 fever. I mean, Rob Dew was like,
you went for the jugular.
You know what? You know when you're sick, George. I'm sure have you ever been on air when you're sick and somehow it turns out to be an even better show because you just cut through all the bull and get down to what you really believe? I let him have that, and that is now one of the most, they're saying, one of the most famous moments in television. Universities are looking at that moment, and they tried to spin it. Oh, we defeated you. Oh, you got destroyed. Oh, it's discrediting to get angry. But I ran into Piers Morgan in Houston and his producer a few weeks ago, and they said, we had the highest ratings. This was in the news. A show normally has 500,000 viewers. Here's your show, 6, 7, 8, 10 million a night, 16 million a week. This, the, you know, legend in their own mind, not knocking them, it's just a fact. Their top show was 500,000 views in the U.S., a million or so worldwide. And that night they had 2 million viewers. And they said, even though that happened, the execs don't want you back on. We don't want to make you too big. And I told the woman, make me big? It's not about me being big. My ideas are big. I said, are you scared of ratings? I'm what made you big, having a real issue. So they're putting the cart before the horse here, George. People are hungry for reality.
I'd have you on every week if I were them.
Well, I mean, exactly. What's crazy is that people, even if I've, you know, come off as a crazy guy sometimes, or
well, you could have a little temper sometimes. You don't with me because we're like brothers and we get along. I mean, I've always told you I feel like your big brother whenever we go out and stuff like that.
It is true. And no, you're right. You've got a lot of wisdom, but that's my point. Even though I've got my own issues, nobody's perfect. People are hungry for genuineness, bona fide, real. And that's why they love Coast to Coast AM, because it's just you for 4 hours with a microphone, your guests and the callers. It's not scripted. It's teleprompter free. It's real. We're really talking right now, George, and it's not the case with Piers Morgan.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, you've got someone coming from another country. He's a foreigner dictating what we should be doing with our guns. And I, you know what? That upsets a lot of people.
You're right. It shows the arrogance of the establishment. And that's why it's in shockwave. So many people are in a coma. They're used to putting up with anything. It's like an American hospitality to bend over and take it. But at first, people are like, ooh, this is shocking. But a day later, it got totally positive, like, oh, wow, you stood up to him, and that's the point. I read a news article, I think it was in Variety, about a month ago, right after it happened, and Jay Leno went backstage, and Piers Morgan told the story in a blog he wrote, if I remember correctly. But Jay Leno, who I think is a funny guy and I like.
He is funny.
And then later I saw an article, he's true right-wing is why they're getting rid of him. And I guess he's like, you know, he's right of Mao Zedong, so he's a bad guy. But Jay Leno went behind the scenes and said, I'm going to have you on air. And he played the clip and laughed at him afterwards. But he said, listen, don't you get it? We had a war with King George over gun confiscation. It's not good that you're bad-mouthing gun owners. It isn't flying. And reportedly, that made executives mad at Jay Leno that he would be an American and say, knock it off, Redcoat.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about North Korea, Alex, and then we'll talk about GMOs after the break. This guy, this 30-year-old Kim Jong-un, is insane. But what's going to happen out there? What's your gut telling you?
Well, what's my gut telling me is that it's whatever that lunatic does, exactly. A third-generation hereditary dictator, there's communism for you, with a guy raised in Switzerland who loves Dennis Rodman, doesn't even know that the guy's been washed up for 10 years. I mean, what a joke. And what about Dennis Rodman? I mean, I love the fact that bars throw him out wherever he goes. I mean, you know, this is like a living Hitler. North Korea has killed probably 5 million of its own people in the last few decades. That's a conservative number. And you go
intentionally.
There.
Intentionally.
Exactly. And you go there and you give them credit. And then he's got these missiles and these warheads, and South Korea is the fastest growing economy in the world, a dynamo of liberty compared to the same people north under communism, a hellhole. And this guy, listen, I was against the Iraq war. I was against all these wars. I'm not a pro-war guy. But if Saddam had said, I'm loading missiles with nukes. I'm going to nuke America in 10 minutes. There'll be a huge explosion. By the way, these are Kim Jong-un quotes. I would say take him out.
Yes.
And again, he says, I'm going to blow up Tokyo.
Well, and let me tell
people.
You something. Let me tell you something. If he had threatened Vladimir Putin that way, do you know Russia would have gone in there and destroyed him?
Oh, guaranteed. I agree.
There would have been, I mean, he wouldn't even have woken up. It would have been all over for him. I mean, but we...
Yeah, exactly. NATO backed that whole Georgia thing into South Ossetia with northern Georgia, and Russia rolled missiles in. It was on Russian TV, not on our news, aimed the mobile missiles and said, we're going to launch nukes in 1 hour if you don't pull out. NATO pulled out. And exactly. And again, I'm not a pro-war guy. I hate war. But Kim Jong-un, this nobody, is saying, I'm going to nuke Seoul. Tomorrow, I'm going to nuke Tokyo.
I could launch on Hawaii, where we all have friends.
Oh, he says, I can hit the West Coast. Who knows if that's true? The point is, if somebody comes to your house and calls you on the cell phone and goes, George, I'm out here with a Tommy gun. I'm going to start shooting in 10 seconds. You have every right to defend yourself. And so I'm asking the question, why does the TSA want to go in my wife's panties or go in my underwear or drag my kids off to a private room looking for bombs that don't exist, but Kim Jong-un, who has atomic warheads on top missiles, can say, there'll be a huge explosion, I'm going to nuke Tokyo tomorrow, and he didn't do it. You know, what I think is they want food, they want oil, they want all this.
Oh, they want that, but he's going around it the wrong way.
Oh, he is, but even their own client, China, is massing troops in the north and saying, don't do this.
I mean, if the guy had a brain, he'd go to the United States and say, listen, I want a protection agreement. I'm going to have you dismantle every missile and nuke we have. We will never go in this direction. We'd love to go to space with you. We're going to do all these exciting things. But I want a protection agreement. I want you to step in and help us if anyone attacks us.
Yes.
And for that, I'll get rid of my nukes, but this is what I want. I want business, industry, food for my people, health care. Come on in. He's not that smart to do that.
Well, you know why they don't? They've got their poor population. I was reading what they admit goes on there, where the general population is put in a stall together whenever the female is fertile to have a baby, and it's taken like eggs from the hen to be raised by the state. So imagine being these crazy Stalinists in control for 60 years now on power trips. They are the ultimate nightmare, the ultimate example of big government gone crazy.
Well, we can wake up in the morning, though, and find out that this lunatic has launched on Seoul, Korea, or our 30-plus thousand troops that are out there.
Yeah, he can definitely hit Seoul with the 10,000-plus artillery pieces and nukes. He can definitely hit Japan. He, you know, most of the missiles are antiquated. They might blow up on the launch pad, but maybe he could hit the West Coast. And he said things like, you know, we're gonna blow up. He targeted Austin, Texas.
Well, didn't he have a video of New York going up in flames?
Yeah, exactly. They had D.C., New York in flames, Austin in flames, L.A. in flames. And again, it's an example of the government saying, I've got to take your rights because Al-Qaeda is hiding under every toadstool. But meanwhile, there's the bizarrest, absurdest image of a weird Marxist communist state with some crazy Korean guy in high heels running around saying he'll blow me up. I mean, again, another example of how total government, statism, the worship of the state is as pathetic as it gets. Where else but a Stalinist state could you have a third-generation royal family where they live off forced labor camp labor? I mean, it's just... George, let me ask you, going to break, how do you think this is going to end with these lunatics?
I think the lunatic is going to make a mistake, and all hell is going to break loose. I mean, beyond the Iranian situation or Syria or any other hotspot, I think this idiot is going to do something stupid, and look out.
I agree. And then Dennis Rodman.
And then China.
Dennis Rodman is a star.
Then watch China maybe want to take over Taiwan or these Japanese islands. Something's going to happen. This is going to be a catalyst for just a huge problem. I agree.
Why else did they send a year ago the entire big fleet, one of the major fleets, over to the Pacific now? I mean, that's my point, is everything is going haywire now.
You can't stop it. Alex, let's talk about GMOs when we come back, and then later on we'll take full phone calls for the final hour with Alex Jones right here on Coast to Coast AM. And I hear Dennis Rodman might be going back to North Korea. Maybe he can talk some sense into that lunatic, huh? Maybe. We're going to be back in a moment with Alex Jones. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with him right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Alex Jones with us. Alex, we only had a few moments where we talked about robots and where that technology is headed. What do you see? What's happening out there?
Well, if you read the writings, not just of Ray Kurzweil, but all of the entire compendium of establishment writers and futurists and researchers, they just say it's a foregone conclusion that humanity will, quote, evolve, I don't really call it evolving, towards a merger with genetic engineering and machines with nanotech, and that those of us that don't accept the augmentation will basically be stepped on like a cockroach. But then you look at how all the technology is being backdoored with systems of control. That's the main issue here. I'm not against technology. It's just that in the direction that it's being developed and the way it's being engineered, it's completely dehumanizing. And I've got stacks of articles actually here in front of me. The teens can barely talk. They only have a 800-word vocabulary. The Daily Mail, the English language is shrinking. You go to a restaurant, people aren't talking to each other. They're all on their smartphones.
They can't give you change out of their head. They can't do that.
They can't give you change. IQs in the entire world, not just Western world, are dropping. So my whole point is this holy grail, this Valhalla of the computers, which certainly have a lot of good attributes to them, is being engineered in a dehumanizing direction. And so I'm worried about our species and its future integrity, and whether it's Bill Joy, the owner of Sun Microsystems, writing for Wired Magazine and Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, or whether it's a thousand other publications that I've seen over the years or more. They just say it's a foregone conclusion. Humanity's done. They're going to merge with the machines. They're going to live forever. They're the elite. And the rest of us, we can just all basically die. And under Agenda 21, they're going to take control of the resources so we don't grow too fast and eat up the earth. And then they're going to cause the reversal of our growth level and basically implode economies and then exterminate us. And that is what the elite believes. That's what they're into. So whether that plan can actually be brought to fruition or not, from my deep study, George, that's what they're actually planning, and that's why I'm so concerned.
What do you see with everything we've talked about, everything that you've talked about, what do you see as our single biggest concern right now? As a people, what should we be concerned about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of news about if somebody comes out with a carburetor that can get 100 miles to the gallon, it gets suppressed because it's called a disruptive technology.
Or gets bought out and buried.
Gets bought out and buried like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, put in that warehouse. I don't see that as the real disruptive technology. I think that's the empowering technology that is our hope, that despite the system's push to suppress humanity, to suppress patents, to suppress ideas, to suppress innovation and ingenuity and rugged individualism, that will only make it come out that much stronger, George. But my concern really is that the nanotech, the genetic engineering, the move towards robots, this whole technocracy that will follow globalist orders and won't question things like our own military has done, that the fact that everything's so automated is going to bring about a cascading event that's uncontrollable and that even the establishment will lose control of, just like the legends of Atlantis in every culture, you know, talk about the technology building to a level that got out of man's control and basically caused massive calamity. So I think out of all of that spectrum of Pandora's box type technologies, I think the most dangerous is probably genetic engineering, cross-species splicing, open air.
Yes.
And then after that, computers.
You know, we've seen some remarkable things. Yesterday, I had a story where they have grown a kidney in a mouse, and it's functional. So they think they're going to be able to do it for adults. On one hand, Alex, technology is wonderful. On the other, of course, it's abusive. But I've always thought, for example, that grown kidney, who's it for? Is it for the poor man who needs it, or is it for the multi-billionaire?
Well, I was on Coast to Coast AM last night when that kidney story was up from the Associated Press, I think it was, and I thought it was fascinating. Or was it BBC? I forget.
Yeah.
It was BBC. And I thought, I want to bring that up when I'm on with George. I'm glad you raised it because I always forget my points when I'm kind of dinging in the middle of the night. But that's my point, is that this technology can incredibly empower us, but the greedy elites are threatened by a general population with technologies like this. They want to hoard this cornucopia of empowerment. They understand human development. They understand that the technological curve is arcing up and empowering humans to a type of little g, you know, almost godhood as creators, you know, made in the image of God. And so they're so threatened by that, they're trying to hoard it all unto themselves. But what the universe has shown us is that what you do unto others happens to you. And so I would just tell the technocrats and the controllers, you're not going to suppress humanity and try to keep us from having these incredible developments that the general public developed from its native intelligence, you're not going to suppress us and then not suppress yourselves. Only empowering humanity, believing in humanity, and standing for humanity will take us to the next level. And this is not just an individual test. This is a species-level test on this planet orbiting deep space, two-thirds of the way out on the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. This is an incredible moment for the general public to take control of their destiny, but also for the establishment to realize the course they've charted is a very self-centered, greedy one, and will end up penalizing themselves in the final equation.
Genetically modified foods, they seem to be everywhere. They want them in every kind of grown crop. What's going to happen there?
Well, all I know is this. It's just like the mouse kidney. Can they develop properly tested systems that really do empower all of life on this planet? The answer is yes. But you've got thousands of nanotech and bioengineering companies and others with gene guns randomly injecting monkey genes in plants and insect genes in fish and spider genes in goats and human genes in cows. This is all over the news. I mean, I talk about this 15 years ago, and people couldn't even believe it, even though it was in medical journals, because, you know, there's no way that could be happening. That's the island of Dr. Maru, H.G. Wells. But we are in 2013. This is the future. We are the future. We are living in the future. And all of those systems, again, could empower us. But when you look at what the GMO has done, every major GMO crop, where it grows its own pesticide and the bugs can't eat it, and they have to grow survival emergency fields next to the GMO crops so the bugs don't all die and have a crop that they can eat. That's the Washington Post reporting on that. And they say, oh, well, this is a natural pesticide, so it kills the bugs, but it's okay for you to eat it. And then I see autism and diabetes and cancer and all this other stuff skyrocketing thousands of percentage points. And these biotech companies who have a history funding the Nazis and funding eugenics and funding all this, they're behind it. And then I see a university study. Oh, the new GMO salmon will extinct the normal ocean salmon, but we're going to release it anyways because it gives us a salmon three times as big. And then I see the phony environmentalist saying, I can't have plastic bags in Austin, Texas, and I've got to pay extra taxes on my oil I use when it puts out carbon dioxide that plants breathe. It's just a fraud. They're using fake environmentalism as a power grab to guilt us into believing we're bad people, and so we'll follow their orders, when in truth the establishment has probably already engaged in very damaging open-air growing of crops that are infesting and abusing and vandalizing the genetic code of this planet. And it is a giant crime, and not just at an intellectual level, George, at a discernment spiritual level. I fundamentally quake more every day over the things that are happening because we all have an ancestral memory, a genetic instinctive memory. That's a scientific fact for the planet, for our species, for other species, and we all feel the crimes committed against the earth that are taking place.
There's no doubt. And also we see farmers who are trying to grow traditional crops with seeds
being harassed.
Being harassed or you know, the genetically modified seeds blow into his area, his acreage, start growing, they take him to court.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen the court cases because, you know, a plant doesn't have as one daddy, one mommy, as you know, George. It could have 1%, you know, of another crop, and they'll go into your land without a warrant, pull your corn, pull your soybeans, pull your canola, and if there's 1% genetics that they contaminated you. I mean, George, it'd be like if I came to your house in St. Louis and dumped 1,000 gallons of mercury in the backyard, and then I sued you for patent infringement because you'd stolen my mercury.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. The Percy Smizer in Canada, the cases are replete.
I don't know where it's headed, Alex, but we got to keep pushing. Do you find...
I mean, it's madness. The insiders get off on the fact that they're not connected. You were asking first hour. I was listening to that great interview, and you were saying, why do people enjoy abusing others? Why do people enjoy... They think they're winning that they don't care. But, you know, I've said this many times. If cancer had a consciousness in the body, George, it would think it was winning. But it's not winning. It's killing the host.
Yeah, it is killing the host.
Well, I'm sorry, what was your question?
It is. But I was going to say, with everything that's happened to all of us, how much more can people take? How much frustration can they take? Whether it's another mass shooting in a school or stabbing at a college or this kind of episode in Boston, how much more can the human mind take?
Again, George, not kissing your hind end, but you always have the best questions. I wish I came up with these myself. How much more can we take? Because you said that, and it made 1,000 different ideas come into my mind. Here's the issue. I want to talk about a different type of false flag that I've heard you talk about as a newsman who's followed this. I say it's a new type of false flag or self-inflicted wound or staged event, but it's actually the oldest. You know that in Chicago or New York or Detroit or L.A., every time some person climbs up on top of a building and jumps off, the police have learned to station guards there the next few days because copycats will see it in the news and they will go jump off. And so they send people to stop them. And the establishment doesn't even need to stage attacks. I've begun to realize reading the criminology. All they've got to do is hype. When you're depressed, the thing to do is to go shoot up a school. When you're depressed, the thing to do, you know, back in 1990, they started suicide education. Don't commit suicide in public schools. And even 2020 and 1999 did a report on ABC and admitted, wow, we've tripled the number of people committing suicide because we're teaching young kids that it's an option and an idea. It's kind of like if you have it on menu, something that wasn't on the menu before, and now you're advertising, we have filet mignon. Well, maybe now you want filet mignon. But instead of filet mignon, it's a mass shooting. It's a mass suicide. It's a mass poisoning. It's a bombing. You know, they advertise, Al-Qaeda talks about pressure cooker bombs. And then somebody else, who knows who it is, here's the idea, goes out and does it. And again, there's always going to be bad ideas. Good people have to put out good ideas that, hey, don't commit suicide, go help others. Don't commit suicide, go to church. Don't commit suicide, believe in yourself. But instead, they're taught that, and so now they advertise, hey, want to go to a school? Want to go out with a bang? Don't commit suicide by cop. Don't commit suicide yourself. Go to a school and show everybody how radical you are. Put a bullet in 20 little kids. Show everybody how goth and devil-worshipping you are. So the false flag is that with the video games and the culture and the media and the drugs and this culture of death where, oh, it's just violence in a movie, I'm not offended, but, oh, real violence, oh, my gosh, don't let me see it, that you've got so many soulless, unhappy, wandering people, and then you've got a system advertising, you know, go out and do this, go out and carry this out, that's the real false flag. Is that dysfunctionalism? There's probably, what, 5 shows out now glorifying serial killers and how cool it is to kidnap people and kill them. And it makes a joke as the serial killer grabs a woman off the street and tortures her, and the serial killer is a really cool guy, or the cool guy who runs the hospital is a psychopath, but he's a cool guy because you, I mean, this is really a sick Hollywood elite culture who's more corrupt than everybody else, whose kids are committing suicide, who are on all these drugs, George, who they're unhappy themselves, they've committed to Satan themselves, and so they're now projecting this on us. We need to simply say, no, there's another way. Love, not hate, is the way to go. And even though people put me down, even though people beat me up, even though bullies have punched me and broke my nose, that happened to me when I was a kid, I'm not going to hate people and become a bully. I'm going to become a champion of truth. I'm going to stand for liberty. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for freedom. And I'm going to resist bullies, and I'm going to tell the truth. And it's that spiritual decision that will turn the tide against evil.
I hope you're right, Alex. You know, you got to keep fighting. Do you ever look over your shoulder? Are you ever concerned about that?
I got to be honest with you. I was telling my news director at like midnight central, an hour before I came on with you. You know, people freak out around the office. I came in here before the Bin Laden raid and said, I have a horrible feeling, some big staged event. I came in here before Sandy Hook the day before, and I only do it before. And I don't get into this on air because they can discredit me with it. But, I mean, everybody knows we got a sixth sense. As you said earlier, ants can pick up when there's going to be an earthquake.
Yep.
Birds know when a storm's coming before it even forms. We all have these cells in our brain that are electromagnetic, that are antennas. It's scientific facts, okay? Anybody that says I'm wrong, they just don't know science. You know it, George. And I told my wife, I guess yesterday morning or now 2 days ago, I told her, I said, I can hardly go in. Something bad's about to happen. I feel terrible. And she said, what is it? And I said, it's not just who they're going to kill. It's what's going to come from it. It's the death of liberty. And I came into my crew, and on the show, I said, get ready for great evil. That video's online. And it's just, I get why people tune into lies. I get why people tune into decadence, because the reality of the universe is so electric, so powerful, that I don't look down on people that decide to tune out from it and who choose the matrix. But as for me, I choose reality, and I can just feel, as I know you do, George, the quickening is here. I mean, and it's going to intensify. It's going to get crazier. And, George, in our destiny, not on a power trip, not in some narcissism, but just in a spiritual level, imagine what it means that you're on air reaching 16 million people, what it means that 10 years ago you put me on air. Imagine what it means that I'm on air, putting other people on air. I mean, this is magic. This is historical. This is big. This is a test. And I want your listeners to understand, you're part of this destiny as well. What you pray for, what you stand for, when you open the door for an old lady, when you don't flip somebody off that cuts you off, when you raise your children, when you help your family, with just being a good man or woman, will stand against this evil. It's not going to be some hero that turns the tide all by themselves. It's going to be all of us doing little things together against the evil that is going to save humanity.
It's the only way. Alex Jones with us. We've got a final hour to go here on Coast to Coast AM, and that means your phone calls. Of course, you've been calling for 2 hours, so we'll be getting you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, this is the hour. We'll take your calls with Alex Jones when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Alex Jones with us. We'll take your phone calls. What are you working on these days, Alex? The last DVD was what, Endgame?
Sure. I've made a few other films since then, but that was one of the last big films. I mainly focus on the nightly news, 7 o'clock every night, that we have for subscribers, and some cable systems cover it at PrisonPlanet.tv, and we're working on just daily video reports that are put out online and put out on the radio, and just basically trying to cover whatever the latest news is. But we cover everything from common law and traffic law to scientists on about GMO or what vaccines are doing to people, or what sodium fluoride or hydrofluorosilicic acid is doing to people. You know, the big Harvard study admitting it's lowered our IQs. Why is it still in the water? Basically, just warning people. You know, people say, well, why do you warn folks? Why do you care? Well, it's empathy. Somebody better warn me. I mean, if I knew my neighbor was about to get in a car that was going to blow up, I'd warn them. So we're just here at InfoWars.com trying to warn people, George, just like you're doing.
Have you been back to Bohemian Grove in a while?
You know, it's funny you raise that. When I first came on your show back in 2003, you had set me up a few weeks before. It was a big controversial interview. C-SPAN and even CNN covered that I was going to come on. How dare they give this madman an audience? Then after it, they covered it. And I was going to come on about Bohemian Grove. But if you'll remember, 7-7, that was a few years later, 333, the Madrid bombings happened the very day I was set to come on the show. and we covered that, but also Bohemian Grove. And yes, 2 years ago, I signed a non-disclosure agreement, but I'm allowed to talk about the basics, and it was actually on History Channel. I got called, and they said, look, you infiltrated Bohemian Grove, CBS News tried to get in, ABC, NBC, CNN, they all got arrested. How did you do it? And I said, well, I just knew some about the internal workings and was able to basically BS the Secret Service. And they said, well, we want to go back.
Uh-huh.
And they said, will you fly out to Northern California, to Santa Rosa, and will you infiltrate the Bohemian Grove with us? And I said, sure, but this is during the winter. The main encampment happens July 15th to August 1st. So I said, but okay, I'll come out. So we're in Santa Rosa and then in Monterio, the tiny town near there, right outside the Bohemian Grove. And there's this old movie theater that, bizarrely enough, had one of five or six of the silicone aliens used in the 1970-something alien movie with Sigourney Weaver. So I'm doing this interview with this really creepy, big, 7.5-foot silicone alien next to me. And I go over to the bar at this movie theater where they were serving people lunch and orange juice and stuff. And the guy behind the counter goes, I'm a local lawyer. I've hung out with George Herbert Walker Bush at Bohemian Grove.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. And he goes, I think you're the government agent saying it's a bad thing. And I said, listen, government policy gets set there. I'm not saying everybody there that is bad. He goes, well, I'm not going to call him and tell him you're coming. Well, I knew full well that Minnie was going to call him. So the video shoot ends in that theater where they were doing the interview with me for the TV show. And they go, all right, we've got the woman down the road on the Russian Rivers, the name of the river, Russian River, with the kayaks ready. And it had been flooding and raining, and I'm out there in a parka and all this stuff. And I'm going, listen, when we get there, security's going to be waiting on us. I think this is a setup. That guy says he works for him. He's going to come after us. They go, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. You know, I mean, if I said don't cross traffic at rush hour, it's dangerous, you know, I would be a conspiracy theorist. So we go about a mile down the river, and we land, try to infiltrate to the back entrance, which I had recommended because I'd gone in the front before. You know, but I was saying land there. We go in. We go walking up through the river, through the creek. Cops start running down, and they go, freeze. Well, I know state law and federal law. The water line is private property. They said, you're trespassing, freeze. I hadn't gotten past the high water mark. And I said, you know what? I'm going to run back over here to the kayak. So they run up, aiming, you know, guns at me and everything. You stop right now. I paddle away. I'm not going to be arrested. They arrest all of the History Channel crew. They get out like a day later, and I rush back. There's cops pulling over on the side of the road because the highway goes by. They're looking for me. I've got a little kayak hidden under bushes, like in a movie, like Moses hiding. They're like looking down in the water and looking for me, and I paddle down. My guys waiting for me in the side of the road. I jump in the Suburban, speed off, and go eat Italian food and, you know, leave the town that night because they were coming. They later raided my hotel room. I later found out. But, yeah, total adventure. It's funny you mentioned it. That's the kind of crazy stuff I've been through.
You sure have. Let's take some calls, Alex.
You bet.
We'll go to Mark in St. Louis to get things started. Hey, Mark, good morning.
George, Alex, how are you guys?
Good, Mark.
Well, I live in St. Louis. I live not too far from Chesterfield Mall, so you know.
I know it well. Where. Yeah.
About where I live, and one of the things that you didn't talk about, or maybe I missed, with the GMOs, is that one of the ways that they're doing it is they're doing cloud seeding, and there's these things called chemtrails. In fact, you had a show on it about a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm, we did.
Well, I happened to listen to it, and I got to be honest with you, I'm listening to this stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, this has got to be BS. So I'm trying to lose weight, and in order to do it, I'm walking a lot. Well, I ended up going for a 2-hour walk. About 20 minutes into my walk, I happen to look up into the sky, and I see contrails. And mind you, I know quite a bit about aviation, so I know what a contrail looks like. At any rate, a little while later, I look up, and I'm looking to the west, and I literally see this line going from one end of the horizon out west to the other. Now, mind you, It didn't go away. I watched the thing for over 2 hours. Anyway, I get home, and I call one of my friends about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't know. You didn't see anything. You listened to these conspiracy theory shows. It wasn't real. Anyway, about 25 minutes later, he calls me up. He goes, look out the –
yeah, you're right.
Tell me what you see. And, you know, and I tell him, I said, that's what I was looking at earlier. And he's like, what the heck is that? So the point that I'm trying to make is that if people want to prove to themselves that what you all are talking about is actually real, all they've got to do is open up their eyes and look for themselves.
That's a good point. Alex, we didn't talk about chemtrails. Have you checked into that?
Absolutely. Look, the ruling elite believe they're God. And in 1992, one of their members got a prize, a Nobel Prize in weather modification. We call it chemtrails. But if you call it geoengineering, aerosol spraying programs, it's billions a year spent by every major Western government to geoengineer. It's not terraform, because our planet's already got an atmosphere, but geoengineer. John P. Holdren, same guy that wrote about putting stuff in our food and water to sterilize us, who's now the White House science czar. He also wrote, George, about geoengineering back in the 70s, and that is a program with Bill Gates. All of it's being run, and they can basically make food a weapon. And so to do that, they're able to create droughts, you name it, and it's a huge program going on. It's openly debated. Even Al Gore a month ago on Ellen DeGeneres was asked about it and admitted it was going on. So, yes, it's going on, but we, the little people, are supposed to just sit here and, you know, wonder why 20 years ago a contrail, a condensation trail, was crystallized ice crystals formed off the tips of the plane. Why did it go away in a minute or two? Why do these trails stay there for hours sometimes to create these hazes? And the truth is, I don't get into space aliens and stuff like that because I can't prove it one way or the other. But the globalists do act like some alien species trying to change our atmosphere. I mean, it's really creepy.
KC, truck driving in Pennsylvania. You're on with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast, KC. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, but you were discussing the flu shot earlier, and then you don't take them. Well, I don't take them either. I've never had, but a couple of months ago, an acquaintance of mine, healthy lady, never has had an issue in her life, went and got a flu shot.
Oh yeah,
and never come out alive. They're denying the fact that it was from the flu shot. I don't know if it's because of
Listen. It's all a test to see what they can get away with. They could have real inoculation technology that actually helped people. But if you look at these big pharma companies, they're all eugenics population reductionists who've been caught shipping out factor VIII blood product full of HIV and hepatitis knowingly. Bayer got caught doing that. That's, you know, NBC News, ABC News. Sir, I know two talk show hosts in Austin, Texas, 4 years ago that took the H1N1. Both of them got Guillain-Barré.
My doctor got that, getting one of those shots.
Exactly. One of them is Dale Dudley, who's on your FM sister station to 590 that we're on right now in Austin, Texas, where you have something like 65% of the total audience in Austin, George, by the way. Congratulations on that. Dale Dudley, I'm on his show, 93.7 a few years ago, and he goes, yeah, my hands and feet got numb for a few months. I was totally freaking out. The doctor said, don't worry, you have Guillain-Barré, but it went away. Now, another talk show host, I mean, just giving you names here, they didn't want to go on air. They haven't been able to work out. They've lost like 60 pounds. They are totally have like Parkinson's now, and they told them it's from the shot, the H1N1, 4 years ago. Now, folks, again, I told about my uncle, gets the shot, almost dies. Now that's my mom's brother. The other uncle, my dad's brother, again, a tetanus shot, took a tetanus shot when he was a kid, almost died. My mother, a triathlete, never gets sick, flu shot, almost killed her. Folks, I mean, look, you take a shot, you almost die. You know what did it. And again, they're practicing just having, it's like the Gardasil shot. George, you covered this, and I'm not, again, kissing your hind end. I really admire you because of this. You, in like 2005, when they were doing the trials, because I remember I was listening and went and got the same guest on, you know, sitting there copying the guest you get on. That's what I do half the time. And you have these doctors on going, they did the Gardasil test, it killed people, it doesn't protect you from papillomavirus, watch out. Well, it came out it was killing people, they still approved it. They just settled millions of dollars per family with people that died from it. They now admit it's all a fraud. That's my example right there, is this stuff is off the chart.
You know, would you, are you going to ever get the chip when it's time?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm 70 years old and I have a heart attack and they go get a chip to work my heart, that's fine. But if it's technology is not evil in and of itself, but if it's a chip to buy and sell, absolutely never.
Jim in Spicer, Minnesota, welcome to the program. Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Alex, I was going to comment about your appearance on Piers Morgan. I've seen his show a number of times, and it upsets me quite a bit. He's very critical and often condemning of the U.S. And what I'm wondering is, does he actually, how does he have the gall to come to this country and talk like that? Does he actually believe the stuff he's saying, or do you
all
think
right,
he's
well, well,
working look, for the globalists?
I'm neurotic about not saying anything that's already on record. Even though the stuff I say sounds crazy, I'll be quoting a Wired magazine or I'll be quoting AP. This truth is stranger than fiction. This is not my opinion. Anyone can look this up. Eight of Piers Morgan's underlings who pled guilty and say he ordered them to do it are going to jail for hacking private people's phones, you name it. Piers Morgan, in my opinion and view, is a very shady guy and actually fled here. He won't go back to England. In fact, they're saying he'll be arrested if he goes back. And look, I saw an article last week. I couldn't believe it. It was AP, Associated Press, hires a North Korean propagandist. And I read where they hired former East German Stasi, you know, the horrible communist state, to help found Homeland Security. And then I go look it up, and it's true. So, I mean, look, the establishment has to get the bottom of the barrel. You've got to get somebody who doesn't care about their children to sell tyranny. Because you get like a George Norrie or an Alex Jones or even a Michael Savage or Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or anybody. None of us are perfect, but we actually care about freedom at some point. You start talking about these globalists, they're thinking very short term. And yeah, no, Piers Morgan in private. Here's another thing. I walk in, I've got the flu. I walk into the CNN very studio I've been in before years ago. And they go, oh, look, like I'm an animal. He's got a belly, a little bit of a pot belly. Let's put him out front. And I went, that's not very funny. And they looked at me like I was an animal. So there was a lot of that. And I said, well, I'll show you. So they put the chairs out front the desk and then zoom in on my pot belly. So that's another reason I blew up. I was like, really? And they were ignoring me. You know, the producers fluttering around and getting the cameras ready. And so I said, I'll show you. But, yeah, no, it's all about manipulating. It's all about image. Folks, it's not how somebody looks. It's what do they stand for. Like Martin Luther King said, it's the character of their deeds, not if they have a pot belly.
Next up, west of the Rockies, Renee in Tucson, Arizona.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, I wanted to, hi, Alex. Hi, George. I heard a show on Coast to Coast about a man who made the connection between psychotropics and the school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of personal experience. I went in for antidepressant and anti-anxiety. Alcoholism runs in my family. They promptly put me on a medication that makes you want to drink. And then once they got me, high, they started going, I think you've got borderline personality disorder. And
yeah, they upsell you to put you on more drugs. They upsell you. Look, serotonin reuptake inhibitors are in the hallucinogen class. And it's not like there's a connection. The drug inserts say it can make you commit mass murder. This is not our opinion.
Alex, with all these things that have been going on, I'm curious. What's your wife? She's very close to you. What is she? I mean, is she afraid of these world events? I mean, you're right in the middle of it. I assume sometimes you bring it home.
You know, my wife's the type of person that is afraid of the woods at night and afraid of coyotes howling a mile away at our house outside Austin. But I've been in a parking lot before when somebody cuts us off and then jumps out and gets in our face, and my wife jumps out in some big man's face and isn't afraid. So she's that type of person who has just incredible courage. She knows that what I'm talking about is real, and so she's committed. You know, she did PR for a TV station when I met her that was interviewing me, I don't know, 15 years ago now. We got married about 12 years ago. And even when we got married, she thought I was full of crap. And but then I had a webmaster whose wife had a complication with their child and had to quit over the baby being sick. My wife had web skills. She said, well, I'll take over for a few weeks till you hire someone. And she started reading, instead of travel magazines and fashion magazines or whatever, she started reading the news articles, and she went, oh, my God, you're not making this up. So now she knows more than I do. But again, I don't blame her for that. I stumbled into all this, too. This all sounds crazy. I mean, I don't blame you if you hear this and think, oh, this is too extreme, because my own wife didn't believe it, George.
Not at all. Alex, stay with us. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Alex Jones has been with us. We'll be back. Well, the California Earthquake Authority, our affiliate in Los Angeles, KFI AM 640, and the American Red Cross joining forces to send a very urgent message to Get Prepared California. This initiative is to help prepare the state for the next damaging disaster. Oh, boy. To raise money for this important cause from now until Friday, April 26, next week. Auctioning off dinner with me at Morton's in Burbank in California following a tour of the KFI studios sometime in June. One pair of tickets goes to the highest bidder. Also, you'll take home a 21-piece platinum cookware set. For bidding and details, listen to me here, log on to KFI AM 640. That's KFIAM640.com. Search Red Cross. Put that up there in the right-hand corner. That'll open up. Click Auction, and then scroll all the way down to the bottom. They have me on the bottom. But bid for me. I'm already up to $850. I think I'm leading everybody. But go ahead and do that. 100% of the proceeds go to disaster preparedness and relief here in California. Okay, here we are with Alex Jones. We'll take your calls. Alex, being a history buff that you are, how far back do you think the Illuminati, the globalists on this planet, not just this country, went back to try to do whatever they had to do to control? Any idea?
Sure. I would say, as you've covered with your guests, I think you know the answer to this, George. It's early Egypt, 5,000-6,000 years ago, where they created universities that studied how humans operated. And so they created a group of people that studied other humans, their own servants, kind of like they were animals and how they operated, and then passed on that knowledge as a tool of control and domination. Instead of the elite using knowledge to empower the general public, they use it to enslave the public. And George Washington, again, wrote letters that are available in the National Archive warning of the Illuminati, which was an extension of those Babylonian and Egyptian mystery schools, trying to take control of our revolution. They were able to do so in France, and we saw the carnage and destruction. One tyranny of the royal crown traded out for another. But with our republic, the idea, though not perfect, flourished and then grew to even end slavery. So America is very special, and our destiny is very important.
Let's go to Robert in Los Angeles. Robert, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, no problem. Great show you got, George. Very entertaining.
Thank you.
And informative.
As well. Yeah.
We're psychic. We're on the same channel. We both are. The same word at the same time. Plus, we're neighbors. We live in the same city. So.
That's right.
Alex, nice to hear your voice here. I know you're tired. Hope you have the coffee going tonight.
And I've been listening to your show for a while, Alex, and it took about, you know, a week to listening to it because, you know, it's unique, and no one else in the world is giving the kind of information that you're providing. It really
takes a while. It's unique. It's grating and annoying and sounds like nails on a chalkboard, if you ask me. That's why I listen to George. But my information is good. My delivery is horrible. But unfortunately, I think I'm more right than wrong. I wish I was wrong.
No, I mean, it's fantastic. It's great. I mean, if anybody should get the Nobel Peace Prize, it's you, because you're waking up the whole planet here, because you're all over the world, and you have some of the biggest...
Oh, no, the Peace Prize goes to Obama.
Oh, God, yeah, I know. You have to kill people to get Peace Prize in that category there.
Came very fast, too, didn't it?
Yeah, before I even got in office. It's like, it'd be like, George, if you were given all those Emmys before you...
Before I did anything, yeah.
I'm sorry, George, what?
Before I would do anything. Yeah.
Exactly. It'd be like you're in the Navy before you go out and do all these award-winning reports. Let's just give you these Emmys, George, at birth, not when you earn them.
All right, I'll take them.
Yeah.
I'll take some, too. Give me five.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, well, it's all pretty much scripted. Anyway, Bush Sr., he said, I have a big idea, a new world order. Well, I should rephrase that to one-man order, and that's what we have right now. We have right now a planet that's trying to be conquered, not just the United States. We have the so-called globalists trying to make a global play on basically the entire planet. We have wars and rumors of wars, and everywhere you see on this planet, there's a mass killing, and they're using these mercenaries called Al-Qaeda. These guys don't kill on their own. These guys are paid mercenaries that are being used to create...
Oh, yeah, you don't have to tell me. And I mean, I agree with you, and it's so frustrating to, again, have groups that work for the globalists used, so I have to give my rights up to be safe. And I'm like, how about you stop funding them? But look, as bad as President Obama is, and I don't think he's a good guy, he himself is just a puppet of these interests. And I think if we invest too much in just hating him, we don't actually get to the real cause of the problem, George.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, you were no George Bush fan by any means. So it's not a partisan thing.
No, exactly. They're all just complete puppets. And so I want to follow the strings up to the guy pulling the strings.
I wonder what 2016 will be for all of us, Alex. What do you think? Any prospects? Do you know who's going to run? What do you think?
Well, I can tell you, Rand Paul is going to run for president.
Really?
And if there is free elections in this country, he'll probably win.
As a Republican?
As a Republican, and he is the only Republican, except for maybe Andrew Napolitano, who you've talked to, who's really a libertarian, who I know is a real guy. And I've known Rand. I've been interviewing Rand for 16 years.
Well, his father, I think, won every debate, clearly showed it in the online polling. But never got the recognition.
And he would have beat Obama, all the polls showed. But the dirty Republican Party decided to not let him get the nomination. Yeah, imagine a President Paul right now. But unfortunately, you know, he's like 77 now. He's too old.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 78. Rand Paul, people can say, oh, he's not perfect. But when he stood up and filibustered the drones, I mean, look at all the attention. It flipped the polls the next day. People are looking for leadership, George. And
they want honesty.
They want honesty.
You know what? As I was saying yesterday, you know what? Just don't lie to me. Tell me the way it is. I may not like it. If you go into Iraq because you want the oil reserves, explain why you're doing it and tell me and don't lie about it. You know, just say, look, we need to have the oil before somebody else does.
Well, George, I know you're going to other calls, but I got to give you some kudos here. It's true. A, most talk show hosts are egomaniacs and would never have another talk show host on. B, most talk show hosts, when they took over one of the biggest shows in the country 10 years ago, 11 years ago, would not cover real issues. They'd play it safe. You covered real issues and have taken the show in a different direction. It was already entertaining and informative, but, I mean, you've taken it in a turbocharged way. And I think, George, you're an example for other people in media that don't be such knock-kneed cowards that you won't be your own self. That's why it's such a pleasure. When I'm up working late to be able to listen to Coast to Coast AM or when local stations re-air it at night or earlier is because I hope listeners appreciate that there aren't many people that really let other guests get on and say what they mean and cover real issues and who don't read off pre-scripted talking points. I hope people realize CoastToCoastAM.com, George Norrie and the other amazing host, you know, your weekend host.
My George Knapp, my John Wells, all these people.
John B. Wells, what a patriot. I mean, this is something special. And it also shows that the liberty idea is also popular. It's not just that the hosts are liberty lovers, like John B. Wells and yourself and Knapp. It's that it resonates. Freedom is popular. Like Ron Paul said, legalize freedom.
By the way, I'm going to be in Toronto the end of June, and you're going to pop up via Skype before 1,200 people. I'm looking forward to that.
You know what? If it let me into Canada, George, I'll just come to the event.
Well, you know what? I was asking Tom why you're not coming.
Every time I fly into Canada, they throw me in handcuffs and say, why are you protesting Bilderberg? And I'm like, that was a two-year.
Oh, really? They don't let you in?
I don't know. It's like Michael Savage can't go to England. Yeah, the Crown.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
The Crown's mad at me.
All right. Well, you talk to Tommy about it because I know tickets
George,
are going fast.
Listen, one time you invited me when I was about to have my third child. You're like, hey, in a month, come speak at this event. I said, oh, I said I would, but I can't. And then and never again have I been invited. I want to come speak at one of your events.
Well, we can't invite you. We're scared of you, Alex. You're going to beat me up like you did Piers Morgan.
Or throw you in the water like I did.
See, what Piers should have come right back at you, and he didn't. He was flabbergasted. He didn't know how to handle you.
I don't know why he was. I'm a pussycat. No, but see, he's fake, so I got mad at him.
I would have had a baseball bat and clubbed you.
You probably would have.
You know,
remember when you made the joke about me throwing you in the water puddle?
Well, you know, we're on YouTube. Did you know that?
Yeah, but people actually believe it. Tom's in front of me. I don't throw you in the water. Tom doesn't. There's like a 2-foot sinkhole.
A little push. Alex trying to take over. An assassination attempt.
Yeah, and then people actually believe I did that. I get emails still. How dare you try to bushwhack George?
That's right. Pushing me into a hole full of water. I had a great time there. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Welcome to the program, Cornelius. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Alex. Boy, I enjoy both of y'all. Y'all are the best talk show hosts on the radio.
Yeah, we're just doing what we have to do.
And this is what I wanted to bring up. And I know Alex is a Christian and stuff like that. And I'm just saying it's going in the way of Revelation in the book. And I just wanted to know how Alex felt about that. But I know he's warning us and stuff. But if everything's going according to book, the Antichrist or Satan's going to take over. But we still need to battle him. So I'll take my answer.
All right. Are you an end times guy, Alex? What do you think?
Let me be clear. The globalists have kind of done a missionary protectorate, to quote Frank Herbert, where they've taken over Christianity the last 200 years. And every Christian group being persecuted by Hitler or Stalin or Mao thinks it's the end of the world. So why get involved? Because God's about to rapture us out. I have really studied this, and if you go back 2,700 years ago near the collapse of Rome when Christians were being persecuted, they thought it was the end of the world then, and the Gnostics thought that too. I'm going to do the right thing regardless, but yeah, the mark of the beast, the cashless society, all of this happening, it's very, very pertinent, but I'll tell you what I see in the future. I think the fight against the mark of the beast is a fight to be human and not take the actual technology through the Google glasses and other systems into your brain. Don't become a wirehead that people like Philip K. Dick wrote about 30 years ago, where you can plug a wire into your head and give yourself unlimited pleasure and live in a false reality. Joining the devil means you join the false reality and the false virtual reality versus being part of the real world and doing the right thing. It means buying into the delusion. I believe most of humanity in the next 50 years is going to become robotic, cyborg, biological androids and are going to lose their humanity. But the people that transcend all of this are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, and that means all of God's promises that the ear has not heard, the eye has not seen, out into the universe. And so I read the Bible more as a science fiction handbook given to us by our Creator that transcends what men try to interpret it and put on it. But when you look at it, it's so beautiful and so big that I do believe in the Bible, but I do not believe in the interpretation that devilishly controlled men give it. And I see some humans splitting off and becoming cybernetic, others becoming genetically engineered, but others becoming even more advanced in their original humanity, working with machines and genetics, but not giving up their humanity. That will be those that take the path less followed that will become the true transcendent human that basically becomes God's elect, God's remnant. And that's what I see from the Bible and the other ancient text.
Okay, let's go now to Vancouver, Canada. Robert, where I'll be the end of May, as a matter of fact. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Robbie.
It's quite surreal having both of you on the phone. I wanted to make a comment, I guess, slash question on disappearing news stories. With my job, I'm fortunate to be able to read news all day long and monitor multiple news channels and wires. And often I see, you know, things that are covered by multiple sources, or, you know, you can get, you know, multiple articles on something, and then 24, 48 hours, they're gone. And there's just, I'm a good researcher, and there's absolutely no trace.
Oh, yeah, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you and say this, because I printed this off tonight in case George brought it up about, you know, the Al-Qaeda connection to the globalist. Reuters, UPI, Reuters, French News Agency, and London Guardian all ran headlines of his speech. Mohammad Karzai, president of Afghanistan, said the West works with Al-Qaeda and Taliban. They're staging terror attacks 2 months ago as a pretext to stay here. Now, I don't just believe Karzai. What he said is accurate from my own research. I went back tonight because I'd seen these months ago, and I went back tonight to print these, and it was headlines like, U.S. says there's no way they were connected to Taliban. They had changed the headlines and rewritten the articles, so I went and found video screens we did for the TV show that had shots of the original articles. They had rewritten them. They didn't write a new article to discredit their last or correct it. They didn't even put a footnote that they had changed it. They just memory-holed it directly out of 1984. And here's a great example. My writer, Paul Watson, for Infowars.com today.
Good writer, by the way.
Great guy, won a lot of rewards. He did an article about Family Guy on the March 17th episode, where he wins the Boston Marathon by running over people with a car at the finish line and detonating two bombs. Bob Costas says, how did you win? In the cartoon, he says, oh, I did this. I detonated two bombs at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, it was weird. You're right.
Yeah, so it's weird. So by this afternoon, L.A. Times, you name it, says, Alex Jones runs elaborate hoax. This was not on the Family Guy. And the head of the Family Guy comes out and says that it didn't exist and we're despicable, when he's the one that did the piece. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. They came out and said it wasn't there, and you're saying it was? So
we have the video. YouTube deleted and put strikes against our news account and took it down. And instead of saying we took two excerpts from the hour-long show and put them together, where they runs over people at the Boston Marathon and they say, how did you win? Well, I detonated two bombs. That's what it does. They tried to first say, oh, they put two clips together, it's not accurate. Later, they just said it didn't exist and we're despicable monsters. So there's an example of memory holing. When, by the way, Paul Watson didn't break that. That was already probably, let's be conservative, in 100 different blogs and news articles. We just reported on it and said, what do you think of this? And the L.A. Times said, look at the despicable Alex Jones. He made this up. And Fox that owns it admits they have used TiVo and other systems, just like what happened with Jesse Ventura's FEMA camp episode on True TV. They have deleted these off people's DVRs remotely and are now saying, George, look it up, that it does not exist, period.
So they're saying that you edited this. Is that what they're accusing you of?
First, they said we edited it when we just posted somebody else's YouTube that just took the two clips that dealt with it from the hour show and put it together. It did say it was run over, it was bombed at the Boston Marathon at the finish line. We just took the two clips from an hour. First, they said we edited it. Now they're saying it never happened and it's despicable Here it is. YouTube censors Family Guy clip, which predicted Boston Marathon attack. That's at InfoWars.com.
We got to talk about this at another time, Alex. That's an incredible story all by itself. Alex Jones with us. Alex, again, thank you for being on the firing line. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.